it's time for Ask the Tech Guys. I'm Leo Laporte. Dick DeBartolo's coming up. He's going to show us a magic mattress with 90 fists.
What?
What?
I'm Micah Sargent, and I'm so excited to talk to a listener who needs help with their setup for a family reunion interview.
Plus, when is three dumb routers, one router too many? It's all next on Ask the Tech Guys.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Ask the Tech Guys with Micah Sargent and Leo Laporte. Episode 1976, recorded Sunday, May 28th, 2023. 90 magic fists. Ask the Tech Guys is brought to you by ACI Learning. CIOs and CISOs agree that attracting and retaining talent is critical. With an average completion rate of over 80%, your team deserves the entertaining and cutting-edge training they want. Fill out the form at go.acilearning.com/twit for more information on a free 2-week training trial for your team. And by Lookout. Whether on a device or in the cloud, your business data is always on the move. Minimize risk, increase visibility, and ensure compliance with Lookout's unified platform. Visit Lookout.com today. And by AG1 from Athletic Greens. If you're looking for a simpler, cost-effective supplement routine, AG1 is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase of a subscription. Go to athleticgreens.com/techguy. And by CashFly. CashFly delivers rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods and 30% faster than other major CDNs. Meet customer expectations 100% of the time. Learn how you can get your first month free at CashFly.com. Well, hey, how are you today? It's time for the Tech Guys. Ask the Tech Guys. This tech guy over here is Micah Sargent.
And this dapper gentleman over here in the green is Leo Laporte, Formula One racer.
This is Aston Martin green, and you see I have Fernando Alonso's number 14, and he signed it. You can't tell but his signature has an arrow.
That's a very fancy signature.
Well, he's been in Formula One for more than a decade. He's had time to perfect it.
I'm trying to imagine how long it takes to shade in the arrow tip at the end.
I am an Alonso fan because he is the old man in Formula One. He's 42.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do they usually
the old man on this show, I should support the old man on that show.
Do they usually stop sooner because of
it's a young man's
reflexes?
Sport. Yeah, reflexes.
Yeah,
reflexes.
Mine are already shot. Throw something at me.
Your
and I'll catch
reflexes
it a week from
are
now.
Shot?
I'm kidding.
Maybe. That's pathetic.
I don't know. Let's try. before we get into it, I did see them do.
Yeah, they
Formula
do the tennis
One.
Ball thing.
Yeah. I wanted to try it.
We should try that.
I was a little bit worried that I was going to find myself disappointed at my reaction time. So I thought.
Somebody holds two tennis balls and then you.
You put your hand, I put my hands on top of Leo's
On top
hands,
of mine, that's it.
And then he drops them at
and
some point.
And you have
point,
to catch
and
them.
And I have to go underneath and catch them.
That's a lot of reflexes.
Yeah.
We used to play that just slap hands.
Yes.
Yeah. But they
and
do
then
it
you,
with tennis balls.
Did you know there's actually a professional hand or face slapping group? And they take turns slapping each other's faces.
Arm wrestling wasn't enough. They had to take it to the next level.
Petaluma,
and people have had concussions
wrestling.
From that. Yeah. That's a very poor sport. Yeah. Do not participate.
Not for me.
I've seen people severely injured because I, of course, watch face slapping.
Clearly.
In my spare time.
I've seen people severely
injured.
Back in my day.
Did you have a butterfly keyboard back in your day?
I did.
Yeah. So Apple is finally going to pay the settlement. But so this has been going on for as all of these. There was a class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. People who had their butterfly keyboard repaired wanted money from Apple. Apple said fine. They settled and said fine. And then a couple of people who never had their butterfly keyboard repaired said, well, what about us? Mm-hmm. We had to suffer with it. Isn't our suffering good for something?
Look at my fingers. They don't even work anymore.
To which the judge said, no, suffering doesn't count. And so you're going to get the $50 million settlement divided among all the people who had to do repairs, which means you get $1.50 each. I don't know. I think it's actually more than that. It'll be decent. Did you watch the Ron DeSantis on Wednesday? We did this live on This Week in Google. his announcement running for president in 2024.
I tried watching it on Twitter.
You did it on Twitter. We tried as well, right, Ant? Oh, you weren't there. You were on vacation, you lucky boy. Chris Messina and Mike Elgin filled in with Jeff Jarvis and me. And there was echoing. There were sounds. So it turns out, you might wonder why.
Why did it not work?
Because at its peak, I think they had 700,000 people trying to listen. But Twitter Spaces had done more than 1 million in the past.
I was going to say, that actually doesn't seem as much.
No, it wasn't that many. And in fact, they eventually, they could only get about 300,000 in there. Then he was able to do his announcement. They had to kick people out and stuff.
Wow.
It turns out that Elon fired, there were 100 people on the Twitter Spaces team. He fired all but three. And I guess those three didn't know how to fix it. So
that's what happens.
That's what happens. Wow. Speaking of shutting things down, Apple. Now, I asked you about this before the show, and you didn't have an opinion.
It didn't raise my blood pressure.
Didn't raise your ire. So Apple had a service prior to iCloud called My Photo Stream.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. It was essentially kind of the stopgap before iCloud came along, where when you took a photo in one place, you could see it in all of the other places that you were logged in. So if I took a photo on my phone, I could see it on my computer. I could see it on my Apple TV. But what was weird about it is that after a period of time, those photos would disappear from your photo stream. You think of like a stream.
It wasn't permanent.
Yeah, you put a leaf in there. You can see it for a moment. It'll go away.
The last 30 days of images. Mm-hmm. Up to 1,000. And then it was using iCloud to do it, yeah. But you didn't have to pay anything for it. It was just a free service.
Because it also downscaled the images. The resolution was less. The size was less.
I think it was a nice service. Apple's killing it. It will stop June 26th, about a month from right now. Images will remain in the cloud for 30 days, and then it'll be dead. Gone.
Yeah, and the other thing that was kind of troublesome about my photo stream is, if you used the photo stream, you essentially had to take the photos from the photo stream and tell it that you wanted them to also be saved in iCloud.
Ah.
And so if you didn't, then they would go away.
It was confusing. Yeah, that's really reasonable. Confusing. So they want you to use iCloud photos. Mm-hmm. But and so I've heard some complain, well, I don't have the bandwidth for iCloud photos. This isn't as good for me. Whatever. Just a little heads up if you're using the photo stream.
Yeah. And that's something, you know, if everyone out there is kind of going, oh, gosh, what if I'm... It's probably the case that you're not, because after Apple introduced iCloud Photo Library and all of those features, that photo stream stopped being enabled by default.
Yeah.
So you literally had to go in and say, I want to use Photo Stream, and do it on multiple devices.
Holy
and
cow.
Opt back into
Holy
it.
Cow. So crazy.
You probably aren't using it, but it's worth checking to make sure that you have kind of switched over to the other system.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it sounds like it's a good thing that they're shutting this down.
Yeah.
It probably was confusing people.
Incredibly confusing.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. All right, then I'm not going to be mad. I'm not angry anymore.
Good.
I feel much better.
I'm so glad.
Okay, except
uh-oh.
The FDA has just given approval for Elon to put a sensor in your brain. I'm not going to do this. I just want to go on record. This is Neuralink, Elon Musk's company, because he wants to do VR, not with a nerd helmet, but with a...
implant.
Actually, it would be mostly useful for people with various brain injuries, yeah. To kind of enable them to talk or to move things and you know, do stuff. So, well, that's cool. I think that's probably why the FDA has approved it. There have been issues. For instance, animal testing with Neuralink. Elon's been accused of some cruelty there. I think there's an investigation going on there. Department of Transportation is investigating Neuralink to see whether illegally transported dangerous pathogens on chips removed from monkey brains without proper containment measures. Don't know why that's DOT, but it is. So, okay. Also, the Department of Agriculture is investigating those animal welfare violations. But the FDA says, that's all right. Just put it in your brain. Are you going to volunteer?
Heavens no.
Okay, just thought.
No. Okay. I'm actually doing a marathon right now, rewatching the Jurassic Park films. And this smells of
it's
Jurassic
quite a marathon.
Park. In the sense,
how many of those are there?
There are six films.
Six of them.
Yeah.
Isn't there a line in the first one where the tall guy, what's his name, says...
Oh, it's Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum says... just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. It's something like that.
Scientists never stop to think if just because you can do something that you should do something. And that's kind of...
That's a great line in that movie.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, you're saying you have the people that are coming and their job is to make sure that you're following procedures and following all of the science. And then the person at the top goes, we're doing it anyway. And that's how you get...
Really, that's what Burke has decided, that I'm doing it anyway. That. You see that? He says, I'm getting
that. Oh, you're getting an implant, Leo.
So we were doing good news, bad news, good news for Elon. So the bad news was Twitter. Uh-huh. The good news was Neuralink.
Is it?
Ish. Not for Elon, it's good news. This is even better news. The world's best-selling car...
This is wild.
In the first quarter of 2023, the Model Y, the Tesla Model Y. First time an EV has ever been the best-selling car in the world.
What qualifies as best selling? It means that it's sold more models than others, or it's sold at a faster rate than others? Because that was my, you know, kind of curiosity is what do you get? What do you have to do?
You're asking the difficult question.
I know. Sorry. I'm sorry. I had to do the probing question.
Model
didn't
Y
I?
Sales. But is it dollars or units? It's got to be units.
I'm imagining it's units.
Because dollars, you know, you it's cheap car, expensive car. That wouldn't make any sense. Best-selling vehicle last year in California and Europe. Fourth best-selling in China. This was last year. But Tesla's number one sales. Model Y had two. Yeah, it's unit sales. 267,200 sales in Q1 in 53 markets. That's ahead of, what do you think the number two car is?
Something from Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota Corolla. Very good. Toyota Corolla, 256,400
sales.
This
is cool, though. We've got an EV that's taken the top spot. That means that, you know, people more than ever are seemingly interested in EVs. Yeah.
We have a very packed show today. Dick DiBartolo is coming up, and we have our new phone number. So I really want everybody to try this out. Last week, we got five calls in the last 5 minutes. It was too many. We couldn't. So we had to put some people on hold. But here's the number. It's 888-724-2884. 888-724-ATTG. Of course, you could still use our Zoom, which is call.twit.tv. So just open your phone, open your browser on your phone and type in call.twit.tv. That'll open Zoom or do Zoom in the browser. And of course, we also have emails. We have video emails. We have phone voicemails. It's like crazy around here.
Thank you.
It's gone crazy. ATG@twit.tv is the email. You see it at the bottom of the screen if you're watching the video. But the phone number is great because that means people who listen to the old radio show, who've been kind of, I think, disenfranchised because it's so complicated to use Zoom, now can just use a phone call. Now, here's what will happen, though. It's a little weird. When you call in, you'll hear my voice saying, hey, hi, how you doing? And then we'll transfer you into the room where you'll start hearing the show. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, we hope we'll get to everybody. We'll go to you. And at that point, you unmute yourself by pressing *6.
*6.
You're muted when you go in. Otherwise, everybody would be talking. It'd be crazy. So you press *6 when we say hello, welcome, and so forth and so on. So you want to try a call right now?
Let's
I have a
do
phone
it.
Call.
Yeah, I see there's a phone call.
I think Bernie's on the line. Let's try Bernie. I'm going to send him in. Now, once he's on the phone, actually, no, because we can take as many calls as we want. We can take as many calls. Bernie, are you there?
I'm here.
You pressed the *6.
You pressed *6.
Hey, Bernie, where are you calling from?
Lakewood, Colorado.
Lakewood, Colorado. Welcome. What can we do for you?
Pardon?
What can we do for you?
Oh.
What can I do you for, as they say in Lakewood?
I have an iMac, a 2017 iMac, 27-inch, and it's, you know, 5K screen and so forth.
Oh, yeah, those beautiful and 5K iMacs. They were so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in any case, the in the 5K resolution settings, things are pretty small on the menu bar.
Yeah.
And also some of the other things that you look at. And I've been able to make them somewhat larger by going through the proper procedures, but they're still really small. And so I'm wondering, is there an app that can make that kind of stuff larger?
First of all, and I'll let Mike handle that, but first of all, you never want to run the 5K monitor at 5K.
Yeah.
Because not only everything's too small. It's everything small. So if you go to the display control panel or system preference pane for the older Mac OS, you'll see that it says It used to say resolutions. Now it just says best for monitor. Choose best for monitor. And what that is a screen doubled. So instead of being 5K, it's 2.5K. So everything's twice as big as it would be if it were native resolution. And you might say, well, what did I buy a 5K monitor for? Well, when you do photos or movies or editing, there are a lot of situations where the screen will display at 5K. The times you want it to, you don't care if the menus or the icons are 5K. And in this case, you don't want them to be because they'll be too tiny. So the first thing to do, and it may still be too small for you. I'm not saying it's not. But the first thing is to make sure you're on in the system preferences, best for, best for monitor?
It's called default now, but default. Yeah, it used to be best for monitor.
Yeah. So if that's still too small, there's way you can make it even bigger.
Yeah. And the first thing I want to do is tell everybody about a little secret tip. Typically, when you open the displays menu on your Mac, you're going to see three or four little thumbnails. There'll be one that says larger text. There'll be one that says more space, one that says default. And then there's one in between larger text and default. If you right click while you're over any of those little thumbnails, you'll see an option that says show list. I recommend everybody choose show list, because when you do, it will give you all of the available resolutions for the display. And there's actually a toggle that pops up that says show all resolutions. So by default, it's going to show you some resolutions that kind of make the most sense for the display. But if you turn on show all resolutions, you can suddenly get that screen pretty big. I can go all the way down to 960 by 600.
And everything would be giant.
When I click on that, everything is gigantic. I can see everything on the screen. I could be very far away and still see everything on the screen. It's quite nice. So I recommend doing that first before you go with anything else. Start there. After you have tried to kind of switch it to that smallest resolution where the everything is bigger, that's where you want to start to employ some of the built-in technologies in the accessibility menu. We talked before about on an iPhone or an iPad using magnifier, there's a similar ability to see things a little bit clearer on your Mac. It's called Zoom. And so in the accessibility menu, you'll see a feature called Zoom. There are some different options. I'm not going to go through all of the options, but by enabling it, you can then set up keyboard shortcuts, or if you've got a trackpad, you can also use the trackpad. I like the double tap three fingers to zoom, and that's going to let you zoom in on any part of the screen. Now, it's a little bit different from magnifier on the iPad or iPhone, and that's why I like this more, because what happens with this is that it will actually zoom in on a portion of the screen entirely. It doesn't show up just in a little box. So again, let's start with in displays, showing all the resolutions. Try that first.
Do default first.
Yes.
See if it's okay.
Choose default and then go down from there. And then if you don't want that, that's where the accessibility setting will come in handy.
Twisted Mister asks a question a lot of PC users ask in our IRC chat. He says, harumph. on a PC, you can scale stuff. Doesn't Mac have scaling like Windows? You're better off running in a native resolution. And this is the problem. On a PC, you might have been used to native resolution. On the Mac, you don't. Go ahead, Bernie. What did you want to say?
Yeah. Basically, I've got boot camp on this.
Also, you didn't mention
and
Windows.
And everything is wonderful in Windows.
Yeah. So make sure in the Mac that you're in default. Yeah, Windows lets you choose the DPI, which is, you know, I guess if you understand what DPI is, dots per inch, you can, you know, set it like at 96 DPI and that'll be legible. Mm-hmm. Normally on that 5K Mac, I always would run default, because what Apple's doing is they're doubling the size of everything, except when you want that resolution, which is in photos and videos, as I said. And so that's Apple's way of saying, you shouldn't have to think about this. Just run it the way we set it up. And everything will be fine. You'll get the native resolution when you want it, and you'll get bigger menus and icons when you need it. Having said that, they do offer you different scaling solutions, but I think what happens is people start messing with that,
yes,
and then it gets all messy. Best thing to do is just let it take the defaults, run it all in default, and see if you can see the menus and the icons and everything's normal, and that way you'll get the best of both worlds. Was that your concern, Bernie, is that you might be losing out on the 5K?
Yeah, I was hoping there would be an app that would fix it for me.
There is. I can give you an app.
Other times, and apps for these other questions or other problems I had were available.
I can give you an app. Switch Res X. I've used this on the 5K. This is hysterical. It gives you even more resolutions than Apple does.
Yeah.
Because Apple's trying to give you resolutions that are going to look good.
Oh, what were you going to say, Bernard?
I actually have that app, and I
that's
got
how you
that
got
information
in trouble.
From you.
That's how you got in trouble. Because if you run it at 5K, everything's really tiny.
And see, this is where you heard me not talk about an app. And the reason for that is because, to the best of my ability, I want to give people the solutions that are as close to the metal as possible because I find that they provide the best experience. That's where I think that Zoom accessibility feature would come in handy for you because it's temporary. It lets you see that part of the screen that you're trying to see and then go back to the resolution that Leo's talking about. It is, in effect, an app. It's just built into the system. It's not necessarily that we need to have some third-party solution if the features are built into the system.
Yeah, you used to need Switch Res X. That's an old recommendation of mine. You're a longtime listener, Bernie. I love that. I think that you can get in trouble with Switch Res X. I used it when I first got a 5K just to see. Well, what if I run it native resolution? And you were right. You can't see anything. So even when you're using Windows, you're telling Windows to double, which is normally what you want to do. Ideally, you would do it in factors of two because then it doesn't have to do aliasing to get, you don't get jaggies. So, you know, if the nominal resolution, I forgot what 4K is, 20 by 2160 lines, if that's the nominal resolution, then half of 2160 would be what you would want to do, which is, what is that, 1080, right?
Yeah.
And then half of 1080 would be the next one. Which is what, 540, and then half of that and half of that. Those would all give you a kind of a better picture than doing a third or an eighth. Apple will give you a third and eighth on this.
They are there.
Yeah.
Per that suggestion that I made. And I want to point out, thank you, Scooter X, for that reminder. Also in that display accessibility menu, there is an option to just change the menu bar size from default to large.
Yeah, you could
large.
Just change that.
So you could also just make that menu bar larger if your biggest concern is the menu bar itself.
I did that, but it doesn't make it that much larger.
My bet, Bernie, is that you used Switch Res X back in the day and you screwed it up.
So you're probably right.
So go back. I can't remember what the default is. I think the default is half, which is 1080, and I can't remember what the width is on the 5K.
Well, because 5K, it's going to be something slightly different.
If it were 4K. You're right, 4K is 2160. You're right. It's 5K.
Yeah.
So whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think it's 1800 maybe or 1620. I can't remember. Any event, ideally, it might be too late for this because you've messed with it so much. You want to use the default. And I think for most people, that's fine. If you have low vision, of course, that's why it's an accessibility. It's for people with low vision who want to make a bigger menu bar. So if you have low vision, you may want to make it bigger even.
Yeah. If you want to install, if you've got that Switch Res X installed, if you want to install that first and then go into just the display menu, it says which one is the default. So you can just choose the default. Start there.
I'll try all of your suggestions and let's see what happens.
Yeah, always go default.
We'd love to hear how that works out for you.
Here, Scooter X is always on the money. He says the default on a 5K is 2560 by 1400. 2560 by 1400. That sounds like 5K. So maybe you, I don't know. Try that. See what happens.
Great. Well,
yeah. You've got a great Mac. I gave up all my 5K Macs. I'm sad because I wanted to go get off the Intel platform. But that monitor is fantastic. Yeah. Hey, great to talk to you again.
I'm happy with it. Anyway, thanks again for all of your help.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for calling again. Good to get the old timers on. Whoops. Bye means I hung up on him by accident. Sorry. Let's do a quick break.
All right.
So I can feel bad for a little while. Okay. And then we'll take the next caller, Dick DiBartolo, coming up at noon, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. We have
our show today. In fact, our whole studio brought to you not by Aramco or Cognizant. Just my shirt is brought to you by Aramco and Cognizant. The show today brought to you by ACI Learning, and our studio brought to you by ACI Learning. We love ACI Learning. You may know the name IT Pro. They merged with ACI Learning a couple of years ago, and it's twice as good as it was before. Now they have IT Pro, Audit Pro. They have a much expanded, thanks to ACI Learning, the days of boring, archaic training methods are finally over. Lack of meaningful impact shows up as low engagement, right? People go, they take the, and they're just not, they're bored. They can't, they go get, make a sandwich, right? But that means less than optimal performance. Your team deserves and needs to be entertained while you learn. And that's one of the things IT Pro and ACI Learning do so well. On average, in the industry as a whole, only 30% of people complete the video. 30%. That means 70% just get bored, they fall off, they go away. ACI Learning, 80%. 80% of people who watch ACI Learning's videos finish them. That means it's more engaging, it's more fun, and you learn more. It's the format IT professionals want. And what a great time to be an IT professional, because there is a massive shortage. You know that if you operate a business, your team, it's hard to fill those jobs. 94% of CISOs and CIOs agree that attracting and retaining talent is increasingly vital to getting the job done. ACI Learning is great for you if you have a team, because it helps you retain your team. It also helps your team thrive. You're investing not only in your team, but in the security of your business by keeping their skills up to date. 7,000 hours now of content available. And they're running those studios down at that beautiful Gainesville, Florida facility 5 days a week, 9 to 5, to create the latest content. Why? Because tests change, software changes. There are new certs all the time. Your enterprise needs cohesive, cutting-edge training to keep your team compliant and ahead of the pack. You could choose an existing course or let ACI Learning combine modules for a tailored solution. They can even custom design a course to address your specific needs. Service first at ACI Learning. And you'll love ACI Learning's private bootcamp. This is something new. To train your team alongside the most passionate and best subject matter experts certified in the latest version of each certificate. That's fantastic. Full access to advanced reporting, of course, via ACI Learning's Pro Portal. That's so good. You could track and manage your team's results, manage seats, assign and unassign team members. You get great visual reports that makes it easy to prove that this spend is worth it. ACI Learning, they train thousands of aspiring tech and cyber professionals every year, including providing scholarships to individuals from diverse backgrounds, those transitioning out of military service into civilian careers. Join the always-on tech training solution. It's a rapidly changing world of technology, but ACI Learning is your partner, making sure you keep up to date, your team keeps up to date. Learn more about ACI Learning's premium training options across audit, IT, cybersecurity readiness. The site, go.acilearning.com/twit. Please use that address so they know you saw it here. go.acilearning.com/twit for teams of 2 to 1,000. Volume discounts start at 5 seats. That's all. Fill out the form at go.acilearning.com/twit to learn about a free 2-week trial for your entire team. MSPs love this too, to keep their team up to date. go.acilearning.com. We thank them so much for sponsoring our beautiful studio and for bringing us the best training out there. See that? ACI Learning. It says it right there. Thank you, ACI. What do you want to do next, Micah Sargent?
I think let's go to the Zoom calls.
We got a Zoom call. We got a Richard on the line. Because we want to see some video. That's what you wanted, didn't you? You want to see a picture. Yes, let's see. We're going to get to Susan, too, in just a second. Stay on there, Susan. I see you. Richard, are you there?
Are you there, Richard? Oh, might be, yeah.
Was it a flicker?
There was a flicker.
Was there a flicker?
Sorry about that. Had the mic muted.
Oh, easy peasy. What's up, Richard?
My main question is around certificates and in
perfect timing
in interorganizational security. I understand this importance and significance of having TLS certificates. TLS certificate.
Oh, that kind of certificate. Okay. Browser certificates. Yes.
Yeah. However, I'm a little perplexed as to actually how do I go about getting it. I know I need to purchase. I need to purchase one from my organization.
You don't actually. So let's talk about this.
Okay.
So the way certs work in your browser, it's a public key crypto, right? There's a public key. There's a private key. Every site you go to these days should be using encryption, TLS. And you'll know because it says HTTPS and there's a little lock, or now they've changed the lock on some browsers to people in a sleeping bag. I don't know why, but nevertheless, you should know that it's a site is secure. You also asked, though, about intranets, inter-organization, stuff like that. You still want to have security. What we do, so for instance, let's give you an example. There's a couple of kinds of certs. There's a specific cert for a specific domain, and then there's also wildcard certs. Now, for a specific domain, you could go to DigiCert or GoDaddy or any number of certificate authorities and buy a cert. They only sell them now for a year. They used to sell them for 3 years for security reasons, because it's hard to revoke a cert. They're sold for a shorter period of time, but you can buy 3 years and then just kind of renew it automatically, but not fully automatically, but renew it. The single cert, though, the best thing to do is the free certs from Let's Encrypt. And many, many sites, many, many places that you might want to have a cert for will have an automated system. I run a script, for instance, on my website that automatically every 3 months, because Let's Encrypt only lasts 3 months, every 3 months updates its certificate. So it's always secure and it's free. You may also do that on a Synology NAS or a NAS. If you have a NAS that's open to the world, you definitely want encryption turned on. So your Synology NAS has a setting for generating. You can get a real cert from a certification authority. Let's Encrypt counts. You can also do, and Synology will allow you to do this, a self-signed cert. That's the cert you get when you go there in your browser that says, you know, this site is not necessarily safe. Are you sure you want to go ahead with this? You get the warning. Now, you may not mind that on a NAS, for instance, if you're logging into a network attached storage, because you know you're logging into your server. In fact, you even can in that browser say, yes, accept that. And from now on, that cert is good in this browser. You can kind of authenticate it and say, I don't want to see that warning ever again. So then there's the final kind of cert that's the most expensive is the kind we get for instance on twit.tv, which is the wildcard cert. The wildcard cert means you can have, you know, for instance, when you call our Zoom, it's call.twit.tv. So we have twit.tv, but we have a wildcard that can be anything in front of that. And all of those are automatically certified. That's more expensive because you can have basically an infinite number of sites. We do, you know, we have a lot of, if you go to club.twit.tv, that's to sign up for Club Twit, things like that. So that's a wildcard cert. Those are more expensive. And then there used to be, and I don't know if this is still around, there used to be an even higher level of certification where they authenticate it. They call you. It used to be browsers would show that as green. We've talked about this on Security Now. In fact, if you really want to get into the weeds on certs, Security Now has a number of episodes in which Steve talks about that. You could just go to grc.com and search the transcripts for TLS or certification or certificate authority. You'll see he talks about this a lot. These higher level certs, they actually call you. I can't remember if this is what we use. They actually call you to verify it's you. It's called the enhanced certification. And that, you know, if I were a bank or a e-commerce site, I might want to have an enhanced. Most of them do, because then it's like even more sure that you're visiting the site that you think your site is. Because they call up and say, are you really Leo Laporte? Yes, I am. Can you show me your driver's license? All of that stuff. They go through extra steps. Actually, it's not really that good. So that's kind of the rundown on certifications. They're giving you a private certificate and a public key that people can then verify. They have the public key in their browser, and then they go and they verify and you say, yep, that's us.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Although I need one more thing clarified.
Sure.
When I get the, OpenSSL cert. That will be the main cert, the subordinates, basically everything cascades down.
That's right.
If I want to implement, say, email encryption,
that's
I can
right.
do that through.
That's right. Once you have, you have your domain certified, you can that will cascade uh-huh. down. Now there are other authentication systems with email, like DKIM. Right. You know this, and SPF and stuff. So those are mm-hmm. an additional layer of security that's a little more complicated. I let Fastmail, our sponsor Fastmail, handle that for me. But I do have so for my website leo.fm, I have a Let's Encrypt script that runs. It does it automatically. It's totally free. That is now getting a certification for leo.fm. That covers anything, including email to leo.fm. It is all certified. It's not encrypted. The website's encrypted. Email's not, but it's certified. You know, they can verify that I am leo.fm. In other words.
Okay, say for instance, our my company's Microsoft 365 instance.
That's an interesting question.
That would be a separate certificate. I think it's like an X509, or maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I am not an expert on that. If Russell, I were here, he could tell me how to do that. You would, of course, still get a certification for the top level to domain, right? Mycompany.com.
Yep.
And I believe you get an X509 certificate that you can then apply. I believe you can get that from the certificate authority. Yes. But I'm not sure, to be honest. I've never done that. So that's a good question. That's a question probably you're doing your own IT. This is why I'm Russell. Russell's the wizard.
Pretty much, I'm helping out a local high school, and
that's nice.
Security is very lax. Everything is just unencrypted, and it's bothering me.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
But
for instance, the site. Yeah, so they have Microsoft 365, yep. and they have kids using their browsers to get in and. Yeah, you mm-hmm. definitely want to apply that. I think the X509 is the cert that you get. I think you can get it from the certificate authority and apply it somewhere in those settings for your Microsoft server. That is a question I do not know the answer to. If somebody knows, if we got somebody who's used to running this, Ant gives it the seal of approval. but his seal of approval means good for helping the high school, which I agree.
Yeah.
Thumbs up on that.
Yep.
But I don't
Absolutely.
Know. If, I don't know if I know enough. This is the problem, you know. You know more than anybody at that high school knows, but you're
exactly.
still, but
and
you're still in
limited.
A little mystery about what am I doing here? I'm not sure. I'm not getting any help from the chat room. Let me ask Russell next time I see him. I see him every week. He comes by. He's our MSA. I'm sorry, MSP. He is the guy who sets this all up for us. You know, I initially in the early days, I set up the certificates for TWIT. I don't do that anymore. I do it for myself, but I don't do it anymore. Yeah, I don't know if Let's Encrypt would be right for the school. But the good news is certs have gotten less expensive.
Right.
I think what you go to is you go to I used to go to DigiCert. I really like DigiCert. Mm-hmm. Steve uses DigiCert. But Russell said, you know, GoDaddy's cheaper. And as much as I hate GoDaddy, certs a cert, doesn't matter. And so we save money by going to GoDaddy. But if you go to DigiCert or GoDaddy and look through the menus, there will be information about what you do if you want to get a cert for your M365 instance. I think as part of getting the cert, you'll get the thing that you need, that X509.
All right. Hey, actually, Leo, I would like to thank you for your years of service. I've been listening to TWIT since the days of the Microsoft Zune.
Oh my. somebody found a video we made of when you remember they said you could squirt your Zune songs mm-hmm. to another person.
Yes.
Somebody saved a video, just recently posted a video of that somewhere in our forums. Squirt. Hey, I really thank you for the kind words. I blush.
Yes, sir.
I'm not very good at taking compliments.
I've learned a lot.
Thank you. We're really grateful to you and to all of our listeners mm-hmm. all over this time. I mean, you know, our mission really is to support you and make it so that you can do the things you're doing, for instance, for your high school. So thank you for paying it forward. And thank you for letting me know, because it makes me feel good. That's the real reason we do it. Have a great day.
You're quite welcome. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Now, let me see here. I think we have time for one more.
We can go to Susan.
I want to go to Susan. She's been very patient. She's got her hand up. Susan, we're going to bring you in via the magic Stargate. And get you on the show here.
There's Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
I am in Longmont, Colorado.
Nice. Our second Coloradan of the is now Longmont up in the mountains there. Are you at a high altitude?
No, I'm about 20 minutes north of Boulder.
Oh, I love Boulder.
Boulder is amazing.
My kid went to school there. I really love Boulder. Nice.
Yes, I recall you saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
See you at Boulder. Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah. Well, what can we do for you?
I retired about a year ago in January from a career in local government, and now I'm reinventing myself as a photo manager. And I recently got a request from a friend, longtime friend, to come and photograph their family reunion. My friend is turning 80, and she would like me to just capture the weekend of events. And then I suggested to her, because I always want to provide more, wouldn't it be great to capture their stories? So I used to live on Maui for about 12 years.
Wow.
So she's paying my way back there to capture all this. And I said, why don't I interview you and your siblings and you can tell me what it's been like, you know, to grow up on the islands and whatnot. So my question has to do with the best way to capture these videos while I'm there. And I've got two cameras, a Nikon D500 and a D850. I haven't decided which one I'm going to take with me yet, but I'm wondering if I need like an ATEM mini and perhaps a video assist to help me see very clearly what I'm capturing, save it on a SD card perhaps, and or do I use the ATEM mini with OBS Studio and capture it right to my MacBook Air? So I'm just trying to plan ahead. I have played with the ATEM mini in my previous career, but it wasn't a lot. So I have the basic idea of how that all works.
This is exciting. Is you're such a good
you
friend.
Actually got me tearing up. Yeah.
Yeah. What a great project to get these people. You're not going to do a multi-camera shoot though, right? You're just going to have one camera.
I would like to bring two cameras. Oh, I also have a little Sony, A6300. So I just want to capture that. And I have a lapel mic, and I also have a stick mic that can go on one of the cameras.
So you're going to do this TV style. You're going to have a picture of the person you're interviewing, a shot of you, maybe a wide shot of the two of you. And then
I don't need to be in it.
Okay. So I want to
have this where, you know, I pose them the questions and then maybe they repeat the question for the camera.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I have a long shot, you know, maybe I sit all of the siblings on a couch and have a wide angle and then a zoom or something. You know,
I'm concerned that you're doing it all yourself. You're not going to have an assistant for this, right?
Not unless I can grab somebody while I'm there.
Yeah. I'm concerned that the switcher is going to take your concentration away. The ATEM mini is a switcher. So you have several cameras and you can switch. My real concern on that is, you're paying attention to that. I know, as somebody who switches his own show sometimes, in fact, in the beginning all the time, that it takes a little bit of your attention away. Now, I've gotten so I can do it, but I think for this, you want your full brain focused on what they're saying, what you're getting, what you're thinking. So my suggestion is not to use the ATEM. Not to worry about, because the reason you do as a switcher is so that you can get something that's done.
Yeah.
At the end of the interview, it's done. And what I would suggest is you record on all the cameras, ISO. That means they're each recording their own thing the whole time. Then at your leisure, you get home, you fire up Premiere or Final Cut, and you've got the tracks, and now you do the switching.
Mm-hmm.
Because gotcha.
You got okay. the interview in, you know, you're really focused on listening to them. And because one of the most important things is you're going to have those follow-ups, right? You're going to say, well, Aunt Matilda, you remember the time you went down to the sugar plantation and they gave you a cup of honey from the bees, and she starts talking and you're listening and she says something that triggers mm-hmm. something. You don't want to be going, let me switch camera one, camera two. You don't want to be doing that. You want to be listening and saying, oh, well, tell me more about that. And you're going to want to watch the faces of all the people because they're going to give you input. When Aunt B's about to tell that story, she's going to tell the story. You want to know. You don't want to be going, is that camera one, camera two? So record all of them, right?
I agree, 100%.
Now, this means more work for you in post.
No, and I get that, yeah.
But that's better, in my opinion, than trying
and
to do it all
at once.
And what
about the video assist? Would that come in handy at least on one camera?
Yeah, so all the cameras have a way of seeing what you're seeing, right? So I don't think you need a video assist. I have a video assist. I rarely use it, right, Aunt? It's really for a director sitting there to see what the cuts are, but you're not cutting.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to see what each camera's getting, and I would suggest you set that all up ahead of time.
Yes.
And then you can just sit down and really look at them and focus on what they're saying and just say, well, unless they move, if they move, you're going to have to say, hold on, I got to move the camera. But as long as they stay where they, you know, roughly where they were, you can check from time to time. But I think if it's just you, the way I would do it, that's where an assistant might be helpful, is if you say, hey, cousin Ed, could you just make sure if anybody moves that we've got the camera pointed at their face? These are right. the three cameras. That way you can pay attention. Cousin Ed can make sure he's got the shots and that everything's recording. I would say as little challenge during the recording as possible.
Yeah. And I think if you're going to allocate any of this budget that you're thinking about allocating, it would be to a good audio recorder.
Audio's key.
So, yeah. You know, you're thinking about using the lapel mic and another mic. Make sure that the audio that you're capturing, not necessarily into the camera, but to its own device. That way, you do have that audio that's separate. So even if something were to, God forbid, go wrong with the video, you would have that.
Well, and even then, good video requires good audio.
Absolutely.
People are listening to what Aunt Ethel's saying. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. What I would recommend looking at, Zoom makes a variety of really useful tools. I have, and I have it at home, the Zoom F3. This is for two microphones, but that's $300, but they make an F5 for more microphones. And this is just an audio recorder, but it's a 32-bit float audio recorder. And we've talked about that on the show before. You cannot overdrive it. So you don't have to worry about how loud they are. You can overdrive the microphone. Maybe not. I don't. A lapel mic. Yeah, I guess that's all right. But these require professional mics. You know, the Canon plugs, the plug in. You can get Zooms that have multi-direction microphones. When All About Android went down to Google for that interview, in case everything else failed, we had a Zoom with multi-directional microphones on the table so we'd at least get the audio. And that does a pretty good job. It's going to have a lot of room sound in it. So the lapel mic would be better. You know, notice how we do it. We have these big fat mics in our face. And that's because I hate TV audio. I never knew how bad TV audio was until Meet the Press did a podcast, just an audio podcast. And I listened
to it. Well, I'm hiding mine.
Yeah, you sound really good. I know you know what you're doing. So, you know, I would even consider doing something like this, you know, sitting him down and having good microphones connected to a Zoom field recorder. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to have superb audio and you're going to have video of all of them.
And all of the applications that are out there, there's these big applications, they all have features built in that help you with this multicam thing. You may already be aware of this. So syncing it up will all kind of, it almost is always automatic, which is great. You know, when maybe some slight adjustments that you make. And also we'll include in the show notes, Ant has linked to a video that he did about multicam editing in Premiere. So if you choose to use Premiere, Ant Pruitt can help you out with that with his nice. Video. So
both Final Cut that and Premiere let you do multicam as if you were sitting there after the fact.
Yeah, so you can switch.
You got all the videos fact. And now you can focus on the switching. Without an ATM mini, you do it at your keyboard, but you can go, okay, camera one. Okay, now camera two. Oh, here comes Aunt Ethel, camera three. You could do that too.
Great. And then since Ant is around, maybe he can guide me. Is the D500 or the D850, what would be his preference that I take?
They're both.
And then the other
video,
smaller right? one I would do is the Sony A6300.
I'm seeing thoughts. 850, he says.
He likes the bigger the number, the better, right?
Better sensor.
It's a better sensor. And I think they both do good video. Remember, you don't, on a full frame sensor is more than 4K. So you've got extra pixels. So even an APS-C is going to give you excellent video.
I think
either of those or both. I would say bring all three of them. And then you need tripods. So spend money on tripods and sound. Put them on the tripods. And then
I may see if I can find a place out there to rent them for the day or something.
Yeah. You don't want to ship tripods. I had a good friend, a professional photographer, who said, I don't ever bring a tripod with me. I buy the cheapest tripod I could find and I leave it behind. Because a tripod is just something to hold it steady. You know, it doesn't really need to be carbon fiber, lightweight with a head and all that. So, yeah, I think setting up, say, three cameras and having them sit on a couch, say, don't move too much. Lapel mics are fine. These kinds would be even better. And the problem is, of course, you know, lighting. You don't want to make it too unnatural of a setting or they get really self-conscious. So do it during the day, maybe even outside where there's nice natural lighting or at least big windows so you can get a lot of light in there. I think you're going to have something very special. You're already doing a better job than most people. And what?
I don't know about doing it outside in Maui. With all the wind.
All the wind, too much wind, huh?
So natural light, but indoors.
Yeah, big light. Maybe they have a bay window somewhere and you can sit them, not in the bay window, but you want the light coming in from the side.
So I'll have to plan that a little bit. What she's planning to do is there's a new campground, which didn't exist when I lived there. I left in 93, so I've actually been in Colorado since then, but it has a bunch of tentalos, so it's not glamping to that extent. There's cots, and then you have a wooden canopy kind of.
Nice. Is that on
tent.
The North Shore? Where is that?
In Oluwalu.
Oh, nice.
So it's in between Lahaina and Ma'alaya. So
really nice. Maui is. Oh yeah, Maui. I was thinking Oahu.
Maui.
Maui's fantastic. Yeah, and Lahaina. I love that area. Yeah.
So it's going to be a new experience for me as well. But she's renting 11 of them and bringing all her family together. And so it's going to be
amazing.
I just can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Look at Zoom. Ideally, you'd like a separate audio track for each person, separate microphone for each person, and a separate camera for each person. And then now you get to completely control what you get after the fact. In fact, you can silence everybody else or you could turn them up if they're laughing. You know, you can really control the thing. That sounds wonderful. It sounds really great.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
good.
Best of
I was a little hesitant to take my 850 just because I use it in my camera scanning setup for my photo management company. So,
That's your work camera. That's a good camera.
That's my work camera.
Yeah. Very good camera. So when you say photo management, you're talking prints of art and stuff or?
No. So I help people do a lot of things as far as organizing, maintaining, digitizing, archiving, backing up their photos, whether it's a print collection, negative slides. I also can help people, you know, declutter and dedupe their their current photo libraries, whether it's Apple or Android.
Oh, how great. What a great service.
It's organize, sort, and backup, basically.
You're still doing public service, aren't you?
Yeah, it really is.
That's really great. I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, media is starting to degrade, and
that's right.
People are losing their tapes. So yeah. I also do video conversions and things like that.
Oh, that's really great. Well, it's so nice to talk to you, Susan. Thank you so much. Thank you. You want to give out are you interested in more clients? You have a website you want to promote for people in Longmont? Yeah.
I would love to do that because I'm always, able to, help people wherever they are, you know, with remote technology today.
Cool.
So, my business is saveamemory.photo.
Saveamemory.photo.
What a great address. Yep. All right. I just typed it in. Look at that. Good for you.
Thank you.
Great little business you got here. Maybe not so little. It's a great big business you got here. This is great. We need this. And I, you know, after doing this radio show for 20 years, I know how much people want this. This is, we're all sitting on boxes of photos and stuff that
we
want to save.
And to see my client's face and reaction when I give them back this nice package, you just passed that screen there, I took all those photo albums out of those photo albums. I used my camera to capture them all. I do photo editing, color correction, cropping. And then they go back into those archival quality boxes. And so when I show people that, you know, I've added the metadata, I backdate the scans. So it comes in the 30s or the 40s.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when they upload it to any current library structure, you know, they can go back and see their photos from any generation.
How did you get into this? This is really interesting.
It just ties my love for photography and my background in IT. So I've been in IT well over 30 years. I taught myself graphic design in the 90s and then web design from HTML. Then I became the city's webmaster for 24 years. And that's what I retired from. But then it also included learning video, social media, accessibility, just you name it. So I'm now taking all those skills and massaging it into this photography organization management.
This is why I love our audience.
I am amazed.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Susan, thank you so much. Saveamemory.photo is her website. I bet you're going to be a few people calling you. That's really great.
Thank you so much. I've been watching you since probably 2007 or 8, whenever you got started.
Nice.
So,
I got started in 1883, but
you got some photos from back then. You could send Susan's way.
We did, you know, my sister and I did this with our family photos. We had slides. My mom and dad loved taking slides. So we had carousel after carousel. There may be 30 different Kodak carousels. And, you know, my mom had them in the closet and we would have slideshows once every 10 years. We'd have a slideshow. So I said, Mom, you know, can I please take them? She said, no. Finally, my sister came over. She said, I'm taking them. Got them scanned. Everybody has them. Everybody in the family has them. They got nicely cleaned up. And then the latest thing I did, my mom's 90 now, is I got her a nice big screen Amazon Echo. And I set it up so it's on my account so that it has all of those. There's more than 1,000 photos.
That's great.
And every time I call her, she said, I just saw a picture of you and your sister when you were 4. And she loves them. For her at her age, because her memory's kind of going, just having that continuous slideshow of memories, I just warms her heart and it makes me so happy. So this is a great service you're providing. I think it's so good.
And with the new AI features in Lightroom and Photoshop, and I have some other software I use, I can even take, you know, scans of negatives and slides that we thought back then were like lost. The bomb diggity, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were so sharp and clear, but yet they weren't.
Yeah, they're terrible.
But now I can sharpen your faces and just make it look like it was taken yesterday with an iPhone. So
this is one area where AI is really remarkable. Yeah. And Adobe's Firefly, and they've just added now new AI features.
Generative fill.
Generative, yeah. That is incredible. You can outfill pictures and stuff. This is really a good use of AI, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. Let us know how it goes. Send us an
email. All right, you're bomb diggity. Yes, you're bomb diggity. I agree. Thank you, Susan. All right. I tell you what, that was a nice way to do a call. And now we're going to bring in another bomb diggity. our own giz whiz himself, Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. He does the giz fizz every Wednesday after This Week in Google. Wednesday evenings around 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And he joins us every month with a gadget or a gizmo. Hi, Dickie D.
Hello. Well, how are you? I'm showing you off my new mic here. This is the professional, the pro mic.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Pro mic X.
It's a prototype. No, that's the plus.
Oh,
it's
that's a plus.
X plus. It's just 45 degree difference.
I like the cord. It's braided.
Yeah. Oh, you call Dennis upstairs with that. What do you do?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. You know, I used to use string, but it's amazing when you switch to a thicker rope. The quality.
Did you do that as a kid? Even as a kid, I thought this is the dumbest thing ever. You take two tin cans and connect them with string, and you talk to them.
Oh, I did.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
And you did that too?
Yeah, absolutely. All those little tricks and things I would see in little magazines. And
I always wanted a walkie-talkie.
I had that too.
Yeah, I was always more tech-focused.
And a CB radio.
CB, breaker 19. Well, what do you got? What am I going to spend my money on?
You're going to want to buy this first gadget, okay? So Pepcom, 2 weeks ago, Pepcom had a show here in the city called Home Now, Well Now, with gadgets for the home and the bedroom. And do you know the company ZBox?
Yeah, I know that name, yeah.
Oh, okay. ZBox Bills, they originally were doing hearing aids,
yes,
where they could take conversation and blur the background noise. And then one time the CEO Tom said, you know, if we made a sound bar using this, people could hear dialogue in the movie and then suppress the background and hear dialogue better.
Oh, I get so many calls from people saying, help me, I can't hear what's going on.
Well, this is why this is especially good for you. So when COVID started,
what do you mean for me?
No, you'll listen to the rest of the story.
All right, okay. COVID started. Okay. Yes.
Tom's mother is in her 90s. And since they were not seeing each other in person, he sent her an iPod.
Very nice.
Okay. And they would talk. And the mother kept saying, I love seeing you. I have trouble hearing you.
My mom says the same thing.
So he said,
I got her headphones. And I always have to say, Mom, use the old iPad that has a headphone jack, because she has a new one that doesn't have a headphone jack, when we talk on FaceTime and she can wear the headphones. But you know what? This might be better.
So he said, let's take the technology out of the sound bar.
Yeah.
And build a little cordless Bluetooth speaker.
I'm sending this to Mom right now.
Because it's got that conversation boost feature. Got it.
Exactly. It also has a hardwire input if you need it, but it's Bluetooth. I've been using it just for a week now, and I love it. So I have two ways for you to get discounts on this.
Okay.
Okay. It's $99. However, right now, if you buy it, you can get free earbuds with AccuVoice built in or headphones. Both of them will be $99. Or you can wait till June 1st, and on their website only, it's going to be $59.99.
Oh.
for the speaker itself.
Oh, I'll just wait a couple of days. That's good.
Not far away.
Yeah.
And also, Tom told me that Home Shopping Network has it on their website for $65 plus some shipping. So it's called.
So you pair this via Bluetooth to your device, your iPad.
Yes.
Or whatever. And it's a speaker, but it's a speaker focuses on the voice.
And a built-in mic. So you just...
Okay, so it's like a headset, but speaker instead of the headset.
Yeah. Exactly. So when your phone rings, this rings, and then you just... you don't have to pick your phone up. You just talk through this.
Oh.
So it's kind of like a conference phone, but
yeah,
just smaller.
The Amazon listing says it's the ZVox AV70 speakerphone with hearing aid technology, microphone, conference speaker, rechargeable battery, wireless Bluetooth connectivity to listen to movies and music from tablet, iPhone, laptop, or TV. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that that's accurate. Okay. But don't buy it there if you want the discount.
No, I'm going to save $30. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You save $40. I think it's $59.99.
Your math is better than mine. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Now, the other thing, I'm just telling you this because you're not going to run out and buy this. There was a company there called Bright selling the $7,000 mattress. Okay.
Wow.
With 90 pods inside.
Well, if it's got 90 pods, I'm in.
What do the pods do, Dickie D?
Well, it will, as you shift around, the pods can level your body back out again so that your shoulder doesn't hurt or whatever. It can do a bit of lifting if you start snoring.
Oh.
It said that there's a third party app that you can use that will tell the mattress when to start lifting your body. You can fall asleep to sounds. And if you want, the mattress can also make motions that match the sound.
Oh, okay. Wow. So wait a minute. Like on a wave in the ocean.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, you only have, I believe you only have 45 pods.
So really, these aren't pods. These are magic fingers. It's got 90 magic fingers in the bed.
Yeah. Well, they look more than fingers. They're quite, you know, they cover the whole mattress.
Yeah. Yeah.
90
yeah.
magic fists. There's the title.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah, but that's expensive. Did you buy one?
No, well, you can't. That would take I would have to move the furniture out of my house.
You'd have to take the roof off and lower
yes,
it via a crane.
I said to the guy, I said, I'm very interested in this. If you can build one no bigger than this.
Just for your head.
Just for your head.
Get on it, though? Did you try it?
I did not. There were people jumping on it constantly. Yeah, so I just spoke to the guy.
Yeah.
But also, there are 5 cities. It's on the company website, and the link to their website is on my website. There are in 5 cities now, there are some high-end hotels that have these in the rooms. So if you wanted
to
spend,
try that.
Me too, I would like
yeah.
to.
Here's Dick
spend a night on one.
Can you see the mattress moving? I mean, does it look like it's alive?
No.
Oh,
no.
Thank God.
It would be a little scary. You'd see this undulating.
Honey?
Yes, it would be.
Those are little magic fists in the bed,
dear. Oh, it uses Somnify. Okay.
Oh, well.
That's a really...
What's Somnify?
Somnify is an audio service that you can listen to music that's got, you know, the binaural audio and all that magic. So it looks like it's pairing with them or partnering with them to provide the sound and then, of course, doing those motions.
You didn't know that, maybe you did, Dick, but this guy here, Mr. Micah Sargent, is a kind of a sleep buff.
He's
a big fan of the sleep.
I do a lot of research on sleep. Okay. I used to have a subscription to the journal Sleep. That's how much I was into it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, really. Sleep is
I subscribe to that because I would read it and fall asleep on the second page.
It works.
So it does
it's
work.
Kind of a dual action magazine.
Yes, exactly.
Thought about just reading it very quietly for a podcast, but then I thought the copyright issues would be. I don't want to mess around with that.
ASMR Sleep Journal. $6,300 for a mattress sounds like a lot, but actually high-end mattresses like Tempur-Pedics are that expensive. I mean, it's electronic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, the app keeps track of everything you need to know in your sleep. I think it's
a
great idea.
They've got them in San Francisco, so.
I want to try it.
There you go.
I want to try.
There you go.
It might get in a fight with my 8 sleep.
You just.
I'm like, no, I'm in charge. No, I'm in charge. Yeah.
My mattress can beat your mattress.
You have to pick one sleep technology and stick with it. Very cool. Very cool.
Excellent.
Isn't that something? It's telling that we're all looking for better night's sleep.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's
absolutely.
A third of our life we spend sleeping. A quarter, something like that.
It's
a
lot.
No, yeah. 8, 16, 24, a third.
Like a dog.
If you get
like
8 hours sleep.
Dick D, go. If you want to know more about either of these things, go to his website. In fact, he's got that coupon for the ZVox. You got to get it there. GIZ wiz.biz, gizwiz.biz. That's not the only reason to go to gizwiz.biz, though. He also has the what the heck is it contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. And this one ends at the end of June. So you have
a month left. You have some time.
I know what this is.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's an earlobe piercer.
Oh, that's handy. You just you never know when people come over and you just pierce their ears.
Yeah, sometimes people want their ear pierced.
Yeah. We all have two of them, you know. Just give me one.
Just give me one ear.
Just take, all I need is one ear.
You can try it on your nose. I don't know if it'd work.
Oh, yeah, don't. Only ears, please. No, I don't think that's what that
it's
is.
It's not what it is at all.
I don't. It looks electrical.
It does.
Looks like it's got a smile. I don't know what it is. But that's what that's the fun is.
What the heck is it? I don't know.
The fun of it is, what the heck is it? Get the right answer or the wrong answer, actually. So the way it works is there are six autographed Mad Magazines for the right answer. And if more than six people guess it, then he'll do a drawing. But there's up to 12 for the wrong answer if it's funny. Judges' decisions are final. All the rules, the information, the picture, and how to play at the website gizwiz.biz. So click the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guys for the information about the mattress and the speaker and the what the heck is it. There's also other stuff, the gadgets Dick shows on the World News Now, and Dick's got all sorts of fun merch, including Mad Magazine and Match Game collectibles. And there's a link there also to his fabulous show, Giz Whiz Show with OMG Chad at gizwiz.tv. There's a ton of stuff. Looks like you were just on ABC again recently, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. What'd you show?
Let's see. Last time, I can't even remember.
You know, I could go to the website and find out.
Yeah, exactly.
Shall I check for you?
Exactly.
Oh, look, a portable baby rocker fits any stroller.
Oh, yes.
Looks like a rocket. Okay.
Yes.
Then to go along with that, whoosh, which is eight sounds of whooshing.
The whoosh.
A pepper mill. Ooh, this looks good.
Oh. Ooh. That's clever. Yeah,
pepper mill, you say.
Yeah.
You had me at mill. Two for the barbecue. Look at that. They look like fish skeletons, but they're not. You're doing all sorts of fun stuff. It's a summertime gadget thing.
That was summertime. Right now I'm doing, next time it's outdoor gadgets and then gadgets to make your life easier.
Oh.
So I started doing two spots at one time. That way you only have to go in every other month.
Because it is the middle of the night, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
well, middle of the night's good for me.
Stays up.
That's because you don't have the 90 magic fists.
He needs the mattress with fists.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you, Dickie D.
So okay, much. Buddy.
Next up is.
Thank you. Good talking to you
see
guys.
You Wednesday.
See you next month.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye. Oh, see you Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly. I see you every week.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Don't forget our show today brought to you by Lookout.
Look out!
If you're running a business, you're probably a little jumpy right now because life is scary out there in the real world. Business has changed forever because people, you know, and your data with it and your computers and your phones are everywhere. The boundaries have disappeared to where we work or even how we work. That means your data is always on the move, whether on a device, in the cloud, across networks, could be even down at the local coffee shop. Well, now that's great for your workforce, but it is a challenge for IT security. Lookout helps you control your data and free your workforce. With Lookout, complete visibility into all your data and where it is so you can minimize risk from external and internal threats. And of course, it's great for ensuring compliance too. By seamlessly securing hybrid work, your organization does not have to sacrifice productivity and employee happiness for security. Plus, Lookout makes IT security a lot simpler. You know, nowadays, IT has to work with multiple tools, and they got to get it all to work together. That's just too complex. Frankly, the more complex your IT security is, the more likely something will slip through. That's why you want Lookout. With its single unified platform, Lookout reduces that IT complexity, giving you more time to focus on whatever else comes your way. Good data protection shouldn't be a cage. It should be a springboard, letting you and your organization bound, boing, toward a future of your making. Visit lookout.com today to learn how to safeguard data and secure hybrid work and reduce IT complexity. All three with Lookout.com. That's Lookout.com. We thank them so much for supporting Ask the Tech Guys.
Thank you, Lookout.
Do we? I think we have emails. We have.
We do.
What should we do, John Ashley, producer man? Push. Should we do a voicemail?
Voicemail.
Our number, 1-888-724-2884, is good all week long.
Yes, it is.
If you call during the this radio show, during the, what do you call this? The show.
The show.
The show show. If you call during the internet show, we'll put you on hold and get you on the air. But if you call during the week, you can leave a message like this.
Hey, Leo and Micah. Paul here from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
Quick question.
Yes.
I just purchased an apartment here in Brooklyn. For being here for almost 20 years, and the apartment doesn't come with an oven. And before I put one in, I wanted to get it a countertop oven, and I liked the June oven, but they don't seem to be for sale anymore. I believe they were purchased by Weber. I was wondering if you knew anything about them and if you had any other recommendations for a smart countertop oven, possibly one that could bake bread. Great. Bye.
This, I'm so glad, Leo, you're here because you like all these funny.
I've had two in my life, two different June ovens.
Yeah.
I have the latest. I think they're still for sale. JuneOven.com. So the idea of this is it's an oven with Android, you know, a toaster oven, mm-hmm. but it's got Android built in and it's got a camera in there and it's got little scales in the feet. It's got a little probe, so it's a smart oven.
Oh, they're sold out on the site. All three models are sold out.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get more. Yeah. You know, I had to wait. They're expensive, too, although the prices dropped considerably from when I bought the first one. The first one was $1,500.
Whew.
I think the last one I got is half that. But now here's a cool thing about the June. It does a lot of stuff. It's not just a plain old toaster oven. They have fans in there, so it can be a convection oven, which means it can also be an air fryer, because that's all an air fryer is a convection oven. But they have, you can get special grids to hold the food. Like if you had nuggets, you put the trays in and the things with the nuggets in the thing.
The nugget tray.
And then it blows the air around.
I see you can even make like dried fruit.
You could use it as a dehydrator. That, I guess, you know, because it's got very precise temperature control. The camera's nice. I could actually show you.
Oh, is there something? Oh,
I could show you a video of what was cooked last in my June oven. I don't know what it was, but it takes videos of everything you cook, and then you can replay them, time lapse them,
which is useful because
no use whatsoever.
It is kind of fun to see
whatsoever. So let's see. The last thing we did was we toasted some bread this morning at 8:13.
Oh, so you're using this regularly.
Oh, yeah.
It's your oven.
It's a toaster oven. Look, I can watch the bread toast.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Does it have a speed up or do you watch it in slow-mo? It
took 11 minutes. Well, that seems like
a long time. That's a long time. My toaster
That would be the negative.
Minutes.
It is. That was the speed up, I guess. It is. Somebody's eaten the toast. It's gone.
Pulled it out.
That is the negative of this. Toaster is a faster thing to toast. Don't get it as a toaster. I gave one to my mom, though, because she can put in like fish sticks. And it has a camera and it says, that's fish sticks.
Oh, okay.
And then do you want me to cook fish sticks? And you say, yes. And you push okay. And it knows how to cook fish sticks. Sometimes it'll say, move the grill. What do they call that?
Oh, that's smart.
Insert.
The tray.
There's a name for that. I don't know.
Oh, anyway, the rack.
The rack. Thank you. Oven rack. Move the oven. I'm such an idiot. You know what? The hat's so tight.
That's what it is.
It's cutting off circulation in my brain. Anyway, you put the rack in the middle. It'll tell you sometimes or put it to the top. Sometimes it'll say stick in the probe.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're going to roast a chicken, you put in a whole chicken. It says, oh, that's a chicken. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Do you want to roast that chicken?
I do.
And you say, yes, I would. It says, well, then take it out. Okay. Put the rack on the bottom. Okay. Now it preheats because that's why I wanted to take it out because it's going to preheat the oven. And then it says, okay, now stick the probe in the chicken and put it back in. And then it does the whole thing automatically.
Wow.
Best thing, for some reason, unknown, Lisa likes Brussels sprouts. Unknown why.
I love Brussels sprouts.
But she likes them roasted, right? Cut up some Brussels sprouts, put them in there. It says, is that Brussels sprouts? You say, yes.
Absolutely
it is. Absolutely it is. And it cooks it perfectly every time. So there is an advantage to the June. The disadvantage is its price, and then you can't get them right now. But I think that's probably temporary. because they still have the website up. It does everything you'd want. You can even get a pizza stone for it.
Would you recommend this over just getting a standard oven? No. Around the same price?
Get a Breville oven. Toaster oven. That's what we have here. Mm-hmm. Do you like our toaster oven?
Yeah.
Have you ever used it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've reheated
and
things in it.
I would get a standard toaster.
So you think that this person should not even go for getting...
It's pretty expensive.
I'm saying go buy an actual real oven.
Well, it sounds like he doesn't have, you know.
Oh, you think there's a space? Okay.
Have you ever been to a kitchen in New York?
No, I have not.
They're this big. They're like that. You should ask Dick. Next time Dick's on, we'll say, show us your oven. He says, I can't. It's my bathroom. their kitchens in New York notoriously tight. And so maybe he doesn't have an oven at all.
Because there's not even room.
June is big. It's bigger than the Breville. It's big enough to put a small chicken, or you could roast a dinner in there.
John likes air fryers.
It's a good air. You could get an air fryer. Problem is counter space, right?
Yeah.
So he wants to get one thing that's going to do it all. That's the June. Mm-hmm. It's a little gimmicky. I mean.
But at the same time, so when you first said the camera, I thought, okay, that's a little silly, but it's actually recognizing food.
It recognizes it and cooks it appropriately.
Yeah.
That's same handy. Thing with, dehydrating and other things. And they have new recipes all the time. I've actually cooked a steak in there. As an experiment, because I really prefer to grill steak, but as an experiment, and you can get it's an added price for the accessory, but they have a thick iron, cast iron, with ridges thing.
So it's like for grilling, actually.
For grilling, yeah. And you put the steak in. The camera says that's the steak. You want to cook a steak, and you say yes. Well, let's take it out. Put in the cast iron grill accessory. It gets it really, really hot, right? Heats it to like 400 degrees. Then it says, stick the probe in the steak. Okay. Put the steak on there, and it goes immediately sizzling like you're grilling it.
That's cool.
So you get that effect. What is it? The Maginot?
The Maillard
effect?
Maillard effect.
The Maillard effect.
The Maillard effect.
The Maui effect. You get the Maillard effect, which is, when it cooks the fat and stuff and it gets crispy a little bit on the outside. And then it tells you, says, flip it over now. It has a nice little chime.
Oh.
You flip it over. And then because it's got a probe, it knows when it's exactly right. So you told it, by the way, I told it rare, medium, rare, well done. So it knows exactly. And actually it was pretty good. It's not as good as on a grill because you don't have the smoke. But it was perfect. The Maillard effect was perfect. It really did a nice job. So, I like the...
And if you make a lot of bread, it's also a proofing drawer if you want it to be.
It's really, the funny thing is, the thing we use it most for is toast. And it's not great for toast. It's 11
one
minutes.
Thing you wouldn't
the
really...
one thing it's not great for is toast. Because it's just, toasting toast in a toaster oven is slow.
Yeah.
Compared to putting in a toaster. So if you have enough counter space, get a toaster too. Mm-hmm. And then if you eat a lot of hot dogs, those little things where you put the hot dog in and the buns in and it cooks it, that's a good thing to get. And then if you're getting that, you should probably get the popcorn popper.
And you might as well get a sous vide tank.
No, the June oven, if you're going to get one thing that's going to do everything for you, except for anything you do on a stovetop, that's pretty good. You might then want to get, and you can get these, a single induction burner.
Yes, get an induction burner. I've got one of those that I whip out all the time.
Yeah.
Even though I've got my full stove and oven, I whip out the
fastest way to boil water. Mm-hmm. Super accurate.
That's what I use
for
pasta.
Yeah.
Or some other thing that needs to boil.
Maybe. And then you've got a pretty complete kitchen with this June oven and a induction.
What about that one thing you've got? It's sort of triangular in shape. Oh, and you put the tank in the middle of it.
Thermomix?
What is that? What does that do?
Don't get me started.
Oh, boy.
Lisa thinks I have too many kitchen gadgets. Every once in a while, I come home and one will be missing.
Oh, no. Sacrifice.
And I'll say, honey, where did the Instapot go?
Now suddenly you want to make what only can be made in the Instapot.
Honey, I cannot make rice without the rice cooker. And she'll say, it's in the cupboard over there. So she hates it because I have so many gadgets. The Thermomix is cool, but it's $1,500.
Oh,
so pricey.
Lord.
So I'm not going to recommend it. You know what? Who's the pusher man here? Stacy Higginbotham, This Week in Google. Both the Thermomix and the June oven, Stacy,
per recommendations of Stacy,
pushed onto me. So, and I'm a sucker for this stuff.
Oh, now there's an Uma pizza oven too.
I have an Uma as well.
Oh, of course he's got an Uma.
But my Uma is an outdoor Uma.
Oh,
they now have indoor Umas, or you can pipe them to your gas line. Uma actually makes real pizza because it gets to 750 degrees.
Oh.
So the way the Umo works, it's just, it's this small little pizza oven kind of looking thing with a chimney, but it uses wood pellets.
Oh, nice.
So you put pellets in and then you let it go, and it's got special ribbing. It's like a Formula One car underneath. It's got special ribbing, and then so that the flame goes like this and it gets really, really hot, which is what you need. Mm-hmm. It's got a built-in stone. So you put the pizza in there, nice. And it literally, and it took me a while to figure this out, kept coming out burnt. It takes 1 minute or less to cook a beautiful pizza.
Are you kidding me?
1 minute. The Uma is great. Highly recommended. Lisa won't let me use that either.
Well, next time I need to make a pizza, I guess I'm coming over.
You want to make an Uma? Come on over. Because they're not big. You can't, mine anyway, it's not super big. So you can only make kind of like a small pizza. So you just make a bunch of them because they're only a minute. They're really good.
And I'm getting another recommendation from Anthony Nielsen, who says that he likes his Anova precision oven, which Anova is known for sous vide.
I have an Anova
sous
vide.
But they also have a precision oven.
Oh, so yeah, the guy was asking for other choices. So Anova, looking at what June has done, and I've heard good things about the Anova, and they make very good, they make great sous vide things. So they have a combi, C-O-M-B-I oven. Let's find that here. There it is. The precision. No, that's the precision oven, not the combi. Yeah, a combi oven. $700. I think this is probably very much like the June.
Yeah, look, it dehydrates, it proofs, it air fries, it convection bakes, it does, yeah.
June was the first, and I think they set the standard. Since this is still in stock, this might be the one to get.
And if you like, you can use ALEXA to control it.
Yeah, well, I would like that.
Hey, get my oven started.
It's like, that look, part I'm going to get up in half an hour, start the toast. You know what? And Anthony, you have one? Okay. So maybe instead.
Oh, and this is a steam oven.
Oh.
Which is apparently restaurant's best kept secret.
Yes. So you do need steam for bread.
Maybe I want to try this.
You do need steam. Bakers have little steam injectors in their ovens.
Because if there's one thing I don't like, it's how variant my oven is. When the temperature calls for 350 in mine, I set it to 380 because I know that the 350 it's not going to hit.
That's really what's new about these ovens is they're very precise. And Anova is known for its very precise sous vide because that's what a sous vide does. All right. So we've really killed this subject.
Yeah. Sorry.
Any other recommendations? Anything else? Okay.
Yeah. You can dry your clothes in the Anova. No,
you could actually.
Oh, boy.
Just to put it on dehydrate.
There you go.
Yeah. And they'll taste like prunes, but they'll be dry.
Dr. Mom, I have a temperature oven thermometer that I bought separate to put inside mine. So that's how I know that it's never the right
temperature. Ovens are never the right temperature. This is notorious. You have to learn what your oven is actually going to do. Yeah.
It's like 350. Okay. It's at 300.
Yeah.
I got it. Anyway.
B. Jones in our Discord says that he uses a Dutch oven for his baking. And that's what I do too, to solve that steam problem. Yes. I have a special, of course I couldn't use just a regular Dutch oven. So I have a special French clay.
Now I'm starting to be on Lisa's side.
Yeah.
Before I was.
You really don't. I have a wheat mill.
Do you have a butter churn in your backyard?
That's a
good
idea.
Oh, God, what have I done?
That's a good idea. I don't buy mayonnaise anymore.
You make it?
I make my own mayonnaise.
In your Thermomix? Or?
Never make mayonnaise.
Never buy mayonnaise.
Always make it. You got an egg?
That's so much egg white, though.
No. You use the whole egg.
You can, no. Yeah.
You got mustard?
An egg? Of course.
You're good. You got a little garlic? You want a little aioli? Go ahead. Live it up.
A little olive oil?
You know what you need, though?
What's that?
And then you need oil. Don't use olive oil. Too flavorful. No. You want to use the blandest oil. Otherwise, it tastes like olives.
Safflower.
Yeah, safflower is good. Canola. Something really bland. And then you need an immersion blender. So you get a jar that's like, you could actually use a mayonnaise jar because then no one knows that I've done this. you get your Hellman's jar. As long as you get to fit the immersion blender in it, the whole thing. SeriousEats.com. They'll tell you how to make mayonnaise. He's got it all down. He's the guy.
Kenji Serious. Lopez.
He's great. Isn't there somebody who wants to talk to us and get me off of this?
God.
You got me started.
There's someone waiting who looks starting to get a little impatient, maybe.
Oh, who should this? Is that Josh?
Yeah, deep red shirt.
Josh, let's go.
I was just teasing about the impatience.
Let's go, Josh. He's been very patient.
Yes,
he's
very
had his
kind,
hand raised.
Patient.
His arm is going like this. I can't. Mr. Carter,
Mr. Carter.
Did you ever see that show?
I only know it as a reference from The Office.
Vinny Boomba. Hello there, Josh.
Hello, Micah and Leo. How are you?
Well, thank you for saving us from that fugue state I was in. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tyler, Texas.
Oh, nice. Right. Nice. What can we do for you?
Well, my wife is an attorney, and she is striking out on her own practice. She currently works with an attorney, but he's semi-retiring, so they're separating their businesses. Anyway, this is all to say that I'm her IT department, and I'm trying to find a way to – she's going to be paying rent and utilities to the other attorney who owns the building, and there's already internet in there. So I'm trying to find a way to use that internet and segment it. And I wanted to get your advice on how to do that. I bought an ExpressVPN brand router with ExpressVPN built in. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to see your thoughts on that. I assume that it's double NATing, and if that's an issue, and just kind of see if there's a better way I could be going about this.
So the existing internet, do you have Ethernet access to it or only Wi-Fi access to it?
Ethernet.
Yay.
But we're not like, you know, at the gateway. It's like the Ethernet's coming into.
It's coming out of their router.
And then they have their own router. They have their own cable modem and router that routes the Ethernet to the different rooms.
Yeah. So you're basically on their network. Yeah. You need something to isolate it from their network. I think the ExpressVPN would work. You are going to do double NAT, but I don't think that's necessarily the end of the world. That's how you have to isolate it, right? The other way to do it would be if you had access to their router and you could set up a VLAN with their router, but I doubt they're going to let you do that. Would be the best way to do it, by the way. So many routers, more high-end routers, will let you set up a virtual LAN or multiple virtual LANs, and they are invisible to one another. So that would secure your LAN from their LAN. But I'm thinking they're not going to let you do that, right?
I mean, that probably wouldn't be ideal anyway, because then our segment wouldn't be completely isolated. I mean, we'd have to be the admin for the router that controls the traffic to the whole house.
Yeah, well, somebody would have to be, obviously. Somebody would have access to it. So, yeah, that's... Yeah, if you put the – yeah, let me think about this. So you know Steve Gibson's three-router system. I'm thinking this is similar to that. So this was an alternative Steve came up with to having VLANs. VLANs is the professional way of doing it, or segmenting out your architecture. But he came up with this. If you couldn't do a VLAN, and until recently VLANs were not common on consumer-grade routers – you would have three routers, one connected to the internet, one for your Internet of Things devices, and one for your computers. And I'm thinking that has to be double NATed. What he's talking about, and it's a reasonable question, is normally you have on any system, on any network, you have one guy in charge, one router doing the network address translation. That's the NAT. Saying you're 192.168.1.100, you're .101, you're .102, assigning local IP addresses to all the devices. If you have two of those, it's a little weird because now you're the owner of the building's router is going to assign to your router an address. That's now your gateway address for those devices. And they're going to assign local addresses to your devices only. I would suggest perhaps, I don't think this will make a difference. I tell you what, I'm going to send you to Steve's page. This is the way to do it. And just do what he says with the three routers, except you're not going to do three, you're only going to do two. Okay? So let me find this for you. GRC. The three routers. Three dumb routers, he calls it. Actually, he did a whole security now on this some years ago. Three dumb routers. Let's see if he has the transcript. I think he has a whole page devoted to this and how to set it up.
Is the VPN service necessary? I mean, I was thinking that way.
No, you don't need the whole idea is that if something is on your separate router, yeah, you don't need the ExpressVPN router. You could use any router for this. If something's on your router, it's traffic. Actually, maybe you do want the VPN. Because Steve's not assuming that the main router is adversarial.
Right.
But you're pointing out that they could be, right? You have to, as an attorney, has to protect your clients. So you have to assume that the owner's router is not secure. So, yeah, you want the VPN. But then it would be secure because it'd be going from the VPN on your router out to the outside world. No matter what the owner of the system is doing, they can't see what you're doing. So, yes, you do need it.
I have one brief follow-up to that, which is I have that set up and it's working. But a strange thing that I noticed is I typed in 192. One of the defaults, and it looked like I was able to see the building router. So I was going through the AirCove router with ExpressVPN.
No, that's right. You would be able to see their router, yeah.
Because it's okay. Still local in that instance, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the tunnel. So when
he
you're
can't
on,
see
when
you, you're, you can see him.
You're not
that's the okay. That's what you've done. There is a whole forum thread at GRC asking questions about this, the three dumb router solution. So I would recommend checking out grc.com. Search for grc.com and three dumb routers, and you'll find a number of pages. His initial description of all this, and then more recent posts around this that would perhaps give you some insight. I mean, his intent is not to protect one of the branches of the tree from the root. That's your intent, but it would have, if you use the ExpressVPN router, it would have that effect.
Yeah. This is obviously not an ideal situation in the first place, that, you know, this lawyer doesn't have, in this case, your wife doesn't have your own connection with the ISP directly. Just because I'm just thinking about, you said you were able to see the router by typing that in. Did they just have admin and password as the login for that router? You know what I mean? There are all of these concerns that kind of go along with this. So
I was just surprised that I was able to see the, I guess it's called the gateway router at all, because I would have thought that ExpressVPN just sends a tunnel directly to their server, and that I wouldn't be able to see anything on the main network at all, that it would just be encrypted gobbledygook all the way to ExpressVPN's.
No, your router has to be able to see their router in order to do it. So, it's a gateway to a gateway. So yeah, you can see it.
Right.
You're right. You wouldn't be able to watch their traffic, I don't think. Well, yeah,
and they wouldn't be able to come upstream through their router and see anything on our VPN router.
No,
at least not WAN, right? But LAN, perhaps.
No, because the VPN, no, ExpressVPN is running on all ports. Okay. It's protecting everything. The other thing you might want to look at, I'm not sure this is a good solution, since you have Ethernet, this is why I asked if you had Ethernet. There are travel routers that are designed to handle this.
Yeah.
And somebody in our chat room said, look at the GLNet travel routers. These are good travel routers. So the idea of these, I have one of them. The idea is you are, and by the way, these usually have a VPN built in as well, mm-hmm. for the same reason you want the ExpressVPN on the router. So these are designed to do exactly what you're talking about, which is join a network, but have protected conversations of your own on that network. So, you know, you're in a hotel or a coffee shop and you connect it. And you can use these with Ethernet as well as with Wi-Fi. That would be another way. But I think what you've got, the ExpressVPN router, is exactly what you need. The only issues are that double netting, that can be concerning. And so I would read up on it.
As long as we don't want to access anything on the main,
I think that's okay.
Trunk,
yeah.
Then it's okay.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, ideally you'd get your own internet.
That's ultimately.
One thing that you might consider, I'm not sure what it's like in Tyler, but both Verizon and T-Mobile now offer, I consider, very good hotspot residential gateways that use the 5G network in your area. So if you have good 5G from either Verizon or T-Mobile at her office, those are inexpensive. You know, because I'm a Verizon customer, I was able to get my daughter the Verizon hotspot for $25 a month. It's very fast. It's about 130 gigabits down or megabits down and about 30 up. Very reliable, very consistent. So if you do have a choice of that, that might be another way to go. Then you don't have to worry at all.
I was going to say, then you don't have that in the back of your head going, yeah, is there a possibility for them to access this?
Yeah. I checked with T-Mobile and we have 5G coverage, but they haven't deployed the
They have to deploy
Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah. Yes. So when they do, that's the one to jump on. T-Mobile or Verizon. Inquire with from Verizon as well. Both offer residential gateways. They're doing so well that Comcast is losing business. Mm-hmm. It's actually it's starting to eat into the big cable company's internet service business. I like them.
All right. Thank you for your call.
Well, thank you both very much.
I think you're doing a great job. Congratulations to your wife on branching out on her own and give her our best. Good luck.
Yes, best of luck.
Yeah, thanks so much.
That's great. All right. What do we got to do now?
We need to go to an ad break again.
Dr. Mom is saying, don't forget that Netflix sent out emails this week not to share your password.
And if you do, it's $7.99 a month for any additional user. So they have essentially started to institute their new password sharing settings where you can share your password with family members, but if they can determine that it's not you who's logging in from a different place, they will sort of recognize that as a third party account that's accessing it and therefore add a $7.99 a month charge to your bill. So
I'm going to test this because my daughter uses mine.
Yeah.
And she's in San Rafael, so she's not nearby.
Oh, yeah. That'll be great to test it that way.
Yeah, we'll test it. See if I get a bill. Then I'll have to decide what to do. $7.99 is not so bad.
No, I mean, it's less than what an absolutely new user would be paying.
Did you see what Blockbuster's subtweet was?
No, Blockbuster's still
Remember
Blockbuster?
Yeah, they're still tweeting. I don't think they have any stories.
I remember the smell. I think there's one left in Oregon.
Blockbuster said, you know, when you rented a VHS tape from us, we didn't care who you shared it with. You just had to bring it back in time.
Be kind, rewind.
There's somebody still running Blockbuster's social.
That's amazing.
I love it.
bless you, whoever you are out there. Bless
you know, I am not going to set up a VPN between me and my daughter. I think we'll just do a test.
Yeah, I'd love to hear if you end up getting pinged. Yeah.
Now, if this was the week, though, by the way, this really frustrated me. That HBO decided, we don't need that HBO. We'll just
be
Max. And
then they have to make a new app.
And my mom emails me. She says, I'm not going to be able to watch Succession. What happened? I said, Mom, I know this is crazy. You got to download the Max app.
I hate that.
And if you do it on an Apple TV anyway, that's what I did it on, it will see the old HBO. So do it before you delete the old app.
Okay, that's good. That is a good
tip. Download the new app, and it will pick up the credentials from the old app so you won't have to re-log in. Then you can delete the old app. For what? We did all this. I don't know.
Just keep the same app. Update the name.
Lisa's saying to me, well, do you think like they're changing providers or something? Or
it could be a new team that's taking over.
I guess, yeah. I mean, this is just another reason why they shouldn't have changed the name.
Just leave it.
Remember, it was first HBO Go, mm-hmm. Then it was HBO Max, and now it's just Max. I wish they'd go.
Zing!
Ask the Tech Guys is brought to you by AG1 from Athletic Greens. You know what I love about these vitamins? They match my shirt.
They do.
This is AG1. I love AG1. I've been doing these. If you want to look like Aunt Pruitt, God knows I do.
Swole.
You got to get all swole. And you want to save money. This is the solution. I want to support my health, but I don't want to add more supplements and more pills. I don't want to sacrifice my taste buds. AG1 from Athletic Greens is the solution. You get the AG1 kit. You get the shaker. But you'll also, if you do our special deal, you'll also get 5 of these travel pouches. I think these are the best reason to do AG1. This is clean, by the way. These are processed in the best possible, you know, clean environments. They are vegan. They're nut-free. There's no gluten. I know you're gluten intolerant. It is the best daily all-in-one solution for your nutrition. It saves time. It saves confusion. It saves money. Less than $3 a day for everything you need. It's not just vitamins and minerals. You're also getting pre and probiotics. You're getting all of the things you need. Just look at the on the website. You can see all the things. And here it is in this little thing. Now, your question, of course, a lot of people are going to ask is how does it taste? Because I've tried these other ones, mm-hmm. you know, the all-in-ones. And I was nervous when Lisa said, let's try this. Ant says it's good. I said, Ant likes whiskey. I don't know. I don't know. No, actually, Ant has very good taste. AG1 makes it easier for you to take the highest quality supplements, improve digestion, support you with sleep and better health. It's the best bang for your buck, and it's a great daily habit. I want you to get into this daily habit. Go right now to athleticgreens.com/techguy. If you're looking for a simpler, cost-effective supplement routine, AG1 by Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D. They give you a little dropper, and they're going to give you five free travel packs with your first purchase of a subscription. They're great for travel. In fact, I'm thinking I'm just going to get the pouches from now on.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to get. I love it. Shake it up a little more. AG1, go to athleticgreens.com/techguy. It's a habit you will get into. And look, it matches my outfit. It's great. Thank you, Athletic Greens. I really love the flavor.
Me too.
Of it. Isn't it funny? I've had some that are so bad, you just go, ooh. I can't drink that every day. Yes, it matches my green costume. All right, you tell me. What should we do? Who should we go to?
Should we do an email?
Yeah.
We don't want to forget.
We haven't done
email,
an email
folks.
In ever.
Yeah.
ATG@twit.tv. Let's do an email.
Can we check the mailbox?
Oh, is it in the mailbox?
Is it in the mailbox, John?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard you print them out earlier.
Yeah, there's a mail in here. Actually, this is the one we never got to from last week.
Oh, I thought that was the voicemail transcript. Our first.
Oh,
voicemail.
We did that. That was the one man dog walking business.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the future, we will have them in the mailbox. I thought mailbox. I heard that this morning. That's
we spent a lot of energy lighting this mailbox so it would match my shirt.
So we did get someone who wrote in to ask about malware. And this is kind of an interesting question. So Jason has written in and said this. I'm just wondering, if you installed a free trial of antivirus software, then ran it, and it quarantined some malware, what happens to the quarantined items?
Oh, I saw this. That's such a great question.
If you uninstall the software after the trial period ends, do they get restored, or did the software actually remove that malware from your system?
That's a hysterical question. Mm-hmm. So I would guess it depends on the
antivirus. That's the answer. It depends, yeah.
But any good antivirus, it's going to stay in the quarantine. What is a quarantine, you might ask? Well, they take it out of your system so it can't run, and they put it in, you know, think of it as a zip file. They put it in a thing that it can't run out of. Now, one of the reasons they do that is they're going to send it back to the home office for analytics, right? So often they do that. But it has been removed from your system. The reason they also do that is so that if that breaks something, they can back out. But it's going to stay. I can't imagine any antivirus software would be so mean.
Worth its salt.
So evil to say, well, if you don't want us, I'm going to remove it from quarantine. So there. No, it's in effect in a zip file. Can't harm your system. It is still on your system, but it's harmless. I would think if you check the antivirus website, you know, when you're removing this trial versions of McAfee or Symantec, in fact, I recommend you do this anyway. You go to the website and they have a removal tool that goes above and beyond uninstalling because antivirus is hooked deep into your system. So I would use that removal tool. And I'm going to bet dollars to donuts it also removes the quarantine, that's part of the full removal. So get the removal tool from the site of your trialware. And run it and really remove it. Scrub your system.
Scrub it clean.
I think you'll be okay. That's a great question.
Yeah, it really is because I can imagine many people trying that and going, well, is it going to still be there after I'm done?
Wouldn't that be mean if it activated it?
It would absolutely be mean.
That would be so mean.
All right. One more. This was kind of a back and forth. Someone had reached out asking.
I am feeling, by the way, very fit. Very vigorous.
Are you feeling swole?
I am feeling good. I'm starting to look like Ant, aren't I?
Uh-huh. Look at that. Muscle.
Nice try.
The shade. So somebody had written in, they said, I currently am in a nursing home and I rely heavily on my Google Mini. However, lately it has been getting stupider and stupider.
It is. It's so stupid.
The things it used to do perfectly right, it no longer does. And my son tells me that Reddit forums are filled with people complaining about the same thing. It is becoming useless. So I reached out and I said, we would love to help you with this, but it would be helpful to know some of the examples of how it's gotten stupider so we can kind of address this correctly.
Follow up.
Yeah. So the individual did follow up, by the way, Mark. Mark said, it's a Google Mini. And for example, I will say, and by the way, I was shook at the time. Mark says, it's a Google Mini. And for example, I say, set an alarm for 4:50.
Yeah.
It says your alarm is set for 4:50.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours later, Mark will ask, how long until the alarm goes off? And it replies, you have set an alarm for 4:50. Previously, it would actually say to Mark, it's 1 hour until the alarm goes off or whatever amount of time it had that was left. And Mark proceeded to say after that, my son has helped me by getting me an Echo.
That's one solution.
Yeah. So
Echo's gotten dumber.
I think they all.
Siri's gotten dumber. Mm-hmm. Google's gotten dumber. I think Echo is the least getting dumber.
Yes, because that is the one system that has such a heavy focus. I think Apple and Google have their eyes on so many different things that those kind of are secondary, tertiary, et cetera. But with this, we do see Google, Amazon actually kind of keeping focus to some extent. I am curious as to what does cause this loss in, so to speak, intelligence, because yeah, you count on these features that at one point worked. Is it that the telemetry is suggesting that people aren't using features like this? Is it that you've at one point installed some plugin that now is sort of taking control of that question that you're asking, and so it's not getting that answer back? What's happening in the system that's causing it to change? It's all up in the air, and I think that's part of the loss of value that one can experience with these smart speakers.
Amazon, we found out earlier this year, loses about 10 billion. Excuse me, is it 10 billion?
That's a lot.
It was $10 billion a year on Echo.
Money, yeah.
That's a lot. It's a lot. And I imagine Google and Apple probably have similar numbers. These are very, and you might say, well, why does it lose money? Because they don't make any money on the devices. Mm-hmm. They sell those roughly at cost. And the service costs them a lot of money to run. You know, they have constantly that server processing running in the background. Mm-hmm. And I think Amazon at least thought we were going to make more money off of it because people were going to buy stuff.
Yeah, people would order from the device, which, and that we would be
mostly just set timers.
They just set timers. Occasionally their kids lost to play the shark song or Frozen.
Yeah. So,
and they don't.
So I think they probably are cutting out services bit by bit. They're starting to, my brain is going. But there's also somebody saying this in the Discord. I agree, a little bit of a holding pattern going on because we're waiting to see if any ChatGPT style features AI get added. Now, the problem with generative AI is it's very expensive.
Uh-huh.
And it's very chatty.
Yes.
You saw and it makes stuff up. You saw the story. It was a big story this week about the lawyer used ChatGPT to write a lawsuit pleading. And the judge said, well, wait a minute. You cite 6 cases here. I can't find them. So the
The lawyer
went back to ChatGPT and said, these cases, can you give me the link? And it made up links.
Made up references.
First of all, it was made up precedents, and then it made up the links. And the judge, of course, clicked the link, says, there's nothing here. So he's being censured. The lawyer's being censured for being a lazy son of a gun. that's the sort of the problem in general. Honestly, I'm not sure, because of the expense, Amazon, Google, or Siri, or Apple are going to add these GPT-like features. They've got to figure out a way to do it that's useful.
Yeah. And it suddenly occurred to me too, Leo, that you were talking about the expenses of having this go off to the server. A lot of these companies are trying to save on costs by pivoting to local processing.
And I think that's what happened to
and
his
that's
mini.
What's making it yeah. more stupid, so to speak, is that, that local chip doesn't have everything that it needs to do what it... Yeah, it goes, I don't know.
I have an alarm.
There's an alarm here. Is that what you're asking
about? I don't
know
what time it is now.
Which way did it go, George?
It may also have... This is, I think, because you're in a nursing home, more likely, intermittent internet. So the way it would know how much time is left on... It doesn't know what time it is, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed this, but if your internet's off and you ask one of these devices what time it is, it says, I don't know. So if you had internet that was intermittent and the dot at that moment, wasn't a dot, it was a mini, right? And the mini at that moment couldn't tell what time it was, it wouldn't
That's
be able to tell
point.
You how long there was.
It left. Would just go, well, I can tell you about an alarm, and it's going to default to trying to give you some answer over just not saying anything or saying the I don't really know. So it's going to do its best to give you some answer. So there it's just so many behind the scenes reasons why that was happening. I hope that the Echo works better for you though, Mark.
It may, you know, it may be the same problem just because spotty internet is death for these things. Yeah. More. I want more questions.
More. Well, do we want to go to the calls then?
Yes. All Let's right. say hello to William. Hello, William. We will welcome you
welcome,
to our
William.
Stargate. Come on down.
You're the next contestant on Ask the Tech Guys.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
It's great. Where are you calling from, William?
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Beautiful. Laissez le bon temps rouler, my friend.
Yeah, we've actually met several times. I actually was up at the, we went to the Twin House, my wife and I,
who
refuses to walk around and get on camera. And, my son, we also met at South by Southwest years ago at Dignation.
Oh, and, you weren't one of those people with your hands on my butt. It was you. I know it was you.
So my son still comes over and he goes, Dad, you remember when we hoisted Leo up? Yes, son. That's a yearly thing we talk about.
That's what I should explain for people who are wondering what the hell you're talking about. Is at South by Southwest Dignation, which was Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht's wonderful podcast, Late Lamented Podcast, had a live event at Stubbs Barbecue. Thousands of people. It felt like it was just jammed in there. And I came up on stage, and I don't know if it was Alex or Kevin, but somebody suggested I crowd surf. I had a backpack on that was streaming live video back to the home office.
Wow.
I had a camera on a Gandalf staff. It was a monopod, so I could walk around at South by... Robert Scoble said, go to South By, but it's all about the parties. So go so you can go cover the party. So I had this staff. And so they said, just leap into the crowd. Now, in hindsight, this was a stupid thing to do because it is not unusual for people to leap in the crowd and not be caught and have severe injuries.
Yes.
And I did not know that or I would not have done this. But thank God you were there, William, because I leapt into the crowd. And your son was too?
My son and wife, we were all in the crowd hoisting
So I did, and I was carried aloft in this most beautiful fashion. It is one of the experiences of my life I will never forget. And I'm live streaming this. I'm holding the camera like this. There's video on YouTube if you care. Anyway, thank you for not letting me drop. They got me all the way to the back of the auditorium, and then I left.
Just run it right away.
Oh, yeah, here it is. There it is. Are you visible in this video?
We were right in the front row. I think I was wearing a red t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
That was years ago.
Thank you for catching me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That's here the backpack. Goes. And now you can't tell, but I am now being held aloft and I'm holding the camera in my hand.
Just a slight panic in your eyes, mostly.
I swear, thank you for doing that. That was a huge gift for me. That was amazing. Amazing.
Yep.
Anyway, what can we do? Now I owe you.
Here's my question. I need you to help me not spend a bunch of money.
Oh, no. But we're bad at that.
So I do photography as a hobby. I've done it for years. I've had DSLR cameras. And pretty much these days, my camera is just my iPhone 14 Pro Max.
Right. It's so good.
But the thing is, I absolutely love watching camera podcasts.
Me too.
Does a great podcast, and I love camera gear.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. It'll give you gas.
Oh,
gear acquisition syndrome. It's terrible. Yeah.
I have an old Nikon D80 in the closet that with about 10, 20 pounds of like lenses, filters, tripods, monopods. So I kind of want to ask, what do you use? I know you've traveled recently and, you know, I'm debating, do I want to go down the road at looking like some of the Sony Alpha cameras?
That's what I should.
Great mirrorless cameras.
Yeah, go mirrorless. Although, because you have that Nikon glass, you could go Nikon, get an 850, for instance, like we were talking with Susan. And you would be able to, now, in most cases, do you know, Ant, if Nikon has changed the mount for the older Nikon lenses onto the new mirrorless bodies?
They're on mirrorless now.
There's the same mount. So he might need an adapter. You might need an adapter. The nice thing about mirrorless, because the mount is so close to the sensor, adapters work really well. In fact, I have adapters on my Sony to use Leica lenses and other lenses, and they're really very, very good. But I think you can use your Nikon lenses with a Nikon camera, and that would be really the best way to go. I have Sony because I
didn't know. Go ahead. The thing is my wife and I are taking a trip at the end of the year, and I've done this before where I'll go get camera gear, camera bags, this stuff. And then when I go on vacation, I'm like, why am I dragging around all this camera gear?
So in this last vacation,
when this is in my pocket.
Yep. 3 weeks in Europe. We went to Lisbon, went to Rome, went to Barcelona. It's a wonderful trip. I thought, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to do it for you. For you, William.
Yeah.
I did not bring my Sony. I did not bring my Leica. I didn't bring anything. I brought my iPhone. I actually brought an S23 Ultra 2, a Samsung. Mm. And I did bring the Insta360 360 camera, thinking I'll get that. I hardly used anything but my iPhone, and my pictures are fantastic. Yeah. It's all I need. Now, it does not satisfy my gas, my gear acquisition syndrome. It does not. But I'm trying, you know, Leica just released the Q3, the successor to my beloved Leica Q2. It's $10,000.
Oh, no.
Thank God, because otherwise I might have thought about buying it. But that's insane. I don't know what they're thinking. I guess there's Leica people out there who don't care about money. But I think if you were going to buy a new camera, since you've got Nikon glass and you don't, if you have a significant investment in it, you should probably look at the Nikon mirrorless, which are very, very, very good. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with them. I am a Sony guy. I love the Sonys. I have a lot of Sony glass. I had a lot of Canon glass, a lot of camera lenses. And so I should have but Canon at the time when I switched to mirrorless did not have a mirrorless solution. Maybe if they'd had their very good mirrorless solutions, I would have considered that. But they didn't. So I started over with Sony glass, and I've now spent a lot of money on Sony glass. The good news is I gave my Canon system, my 5D Mark IV, and about, huge amount of lenses to my son. And that's how he got started as a TikTok star. He used that for all of his TikTok videos. So it worked out. So it depends on how attached you are to that Nikon glass. If you really like your Nikon glass, I would say get an adapter and keep using it on a Nikon. Actually, truth is you could. Oh, hi.
My wife. I convinced my wife to come say hi.
Can I ask you where my wallet is? Because
Yeah.
No, just
well, kidding. She's giving me the okay to buy whatever camera gear to want.
Oh, what a nice person.
I don't know if I want to do this or not.
Actually, with iPhone. You can use the Nikon glass with an adapter on the Sony. The Sony's work just fine. I'm using my Leica. You may or may not get the electronics of the lens, however. Mm-hmm. So things like if the lens is doing the autofocusing, things like that, you might lose some of those features. I would look into that. We have a link we'll put up in the show notes.
I really feel like all of this boils down to mentally making the decision that you're not going to have sort of the FOMO or the fear of regret that you say, I am okay that my iPhone is the camera that I'm taking with me. And I'm not going to spend the time looking at these photos and going, if I had only taken it with this camera, if I had only taken it with that camera, because that's really what it boils down to. I hear Leo every time he comes back from a vacation, the best shot I took was with this
Google phone or with this iPhone.
Yeah. And if you can say, it's us in our heads where we go, oh, if I had only brought those cameras with me. And so then you end up bringing them, but then you don't use them or you use them very rarely.
That is exactly my problem.
Well, and I'll tell you something you already know, William. It ain't the camera, it's the photographer, right?
That's true.
You know, they don't, they didn't say to Charles Dickens, you know, if you had a better quill pen,
right,
those novels would be better. It's not the tool, it's the tool user. So you have a good camera, you can keep using it. If you want to satisfy your gear acquisition syndrome, you could get a Sony. I think the Sonys are remarkable. But I don't think it's going to make you a better photographer. And I mean, yeah. If you want remarkable, the iPhone's remarkable. Here's what you give up, really, by using a camera phone. And I was willing to do that. You give up some of the creativity. Mm-hmm. So with a camera phone, you just take the picture. You're there, you take the picture. You know, you could shoot video, you're there, you take the picture. With your camera and with my camera, you stop, you think, you compose. You're putting energy into that, getting that perfect shot. Now, that's maybe something that's really satisfies you, in which case, you know, you're going to be giving that up a little bit. You still do with composition with the phone. You also give up the long zoom. You can zoom, but, you know, you really only can zoom effectively to about 3x. So you're giving that up. But honestly, I feel like I got as many printable pictures with my iPhone as I would have gotten had I brought a better camera. And I was more present the whole time. So I think you're fine. I mean, I know that's not... You need a new hobby. Have you ever thought about F1 racing?
Oh yeah. The F1 was in Austin a couple of years ago.
It was.
Man, I wish I would have went.
It's coming again.
In Miami this year.
It's going to be in Austin again. And it's going to be in Austin again. Yeah, it is. And we're going to Vegas to see it in November.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, that's a nice expensive hobby you could pick up instead of cameras.
Or, you know, less expensive, crochet.
I am going to bring my long lens to the F1 race because those cars are distant and they're going by very fast, and the camera phone would not get the job done.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for my call. Leo, we love you, and thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thanks for lifting me up.
when we can, we're going to come see you again.
Please do, at the new digs. We'd love to see you.
Awesome. Thanks.
Now I have to, you know, obligation to say we are not open to the public. But, you know, if you come and you knock at the door and I recognize you, I might give you a little tour. I wish we could have a live studio audience still, but it's too expensive, frankly. We can't have Ant here all the time.
Can we just get a
I feel cut, really a safe cutout? With you here, though. I must say, Ant.
Can we get a cutout of Ant?
Yeah, just like a little
just
cardboard
stands in
Ant standing there at the door like this.
Yeah.
And you are? And you want? All right, we have time for more. I want to do more.
Yeah. Do we want to take one more ad break, though? I think we got one more ad.
I didn't do all the ads?
No, there's one more.
Holy camoly. Well, let's talk about our great friends at CashFly. If it weren't for CashFly, you wouldn't be able to download our shows, to be honest with you. When we first started Twit, I just put it up on a website, and they crashed immediately. I said, what? Huh? And then at that point, you may remember if you've been watching since 2007, I said, all right, we're gonna seed this with BitTorrent, but I need some volunteers to seed it. It was crazy. That's when Matt Levine of CashFly came to me and said, Leo, we can help. What is CashFly? It's a content delivery network. It is our savior. You know, we know, you know, if you have a website, if you have a game, if you have videos, your users are not going to hang around for slow stuff. Videos that buffer. Shoppers will abandon carts on e-commerce sites that take too long. And too long could be like 3 seconds could be too long. Just watch your own behavior. Gamers will leave bad reviews if the latency's high. You got to be ready for the internet with CashFly. Customers want a faultless experience when engaging with content, and they want it on any device, anytime, anywhere in the world. Sigh. Building trusted CDN relationships since 1999, CashFly has held a track record for high performance, ultra reliable content delivery. They've been doing it for 2 decades. We've been with them since, I think, 2008, a long time. They pioneered the use of TCP Anycast in 2002. That's something other CDNs are just starting to get going with. CashFly is a metric that I think is really the most important metric. QOE, quality of experience. The experience of your users. If you're serving content simultaneously to a large audience all over the world, your delivery stack can be your secret weapon. CashFly gives you ultra low latency video streaming, to more than a million concurrent users if you need it. Lightning fast. Maybe Elon should have thought about cash flow. Yeah. Lightning fast gaming, which will deliver downloads faster with zero lag, glitches, or outages. Mobile content optimization. This is so cool. If you got a web page, it will automatically optimize your images so they load faster no matter what size screen. Cachefly is the only CDN built for throughput. That's the key. Delivering rich media content up to 10 times faster than traditional delivery methods, 30% faster than other major CDNs. They've got 50 points of presence all over the world, 3,500 clients in 80 countries. Organizations love Cachefly for scalability, reliability, and an unrivaled performance. And we love them because they worked with us in our spiky demand and, you know, in our budget. And we were able to make a really good contract with them. They will help working with you so that you can avoid service overlap. You'll get month-to-month billing for as long as you need it. Once you understand what your requirements are, you'll get discounts for fixed terms. Cachefly is really great. We've been using them. You should, too. Learn how you get your first month free at cachefly.com. You've heard me say it many times. Cachefly at cachefly.com. I bet you we were using Cachefly when I was body
being
surfing.
Lifted, yeah.
I bet you. We had the live view. It was on my backpack, and that was streaming over various, I think, three or four 3G networks from Austin back to our studios, the Brick House here. It was the cottage? It was that long ago. Wow. That was an amazing technical feat. Thank you,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, seriously.
And, you know, thanks to Colleen Kelly, because she designed all of that stuff to make it all work. It was amazing. It was amazing. And she designed my monopod, my wizard staff camera. That's kind of amazing that all worked. I like this guy right here. I want to talk to the guy who's just outside of planet Earth. Is that Vidak? I don't know. I'm going to pick up Vidak here and see if it's him.
No, that's above.
That's above.
That's above space.
I'll take above space in a little bit, but let's start with Vidak. Vidak, join us in the, or Vidak, join us in the Stargate. He's not in the Stargate.
Hello.
Hey, Vidak, are you calling from Montenegro?
Yes, I am. My camera is not working, unfortunately. Sorry.
That's all right. I know what you look like.
Yeah. I haven't changed much since the last time you saw me.
Well, you sound
great.
How
are you doing, guys?
What's up? We're great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, oh boy, where do I start? Since the last time we talked, a lot of stuff has happened, including I switched jobs. And instead of working for one radio station, I now work for two simultaneously.
Whoa. Double your pleasure, double your fun.
Yes, correct. As a producer.
Great.
And
congratulations.
I am looking. Thank you. Thank you. I am looking for some recommendations on studio monitors. I work from home. I don't work at an office. So I have some gear that I use, but I need some studio monitors.
You mean audio monitors or video monitors?
Speakers.
You know, for years when I looked and worked in radio, everybody used JBL Sentries. They were the classic speaker.
Yes.
I bet you some of the stations you have worked at have had JBLs.
Yes, that's right.
Studio.
That's right. I'm not looking at Sentries per se. I'm looking at the Series 3 or 7 reference monitors.
I think they're very good. JBL, in fact, the Sentries were not a good choice because JBL had a very characteristic sound. Oh. They bumped, and this is true of all speakers, they bumped, you know, every speaker has a different characteristic, and they bumped it kind of, you know, that made it sound better than it was. They kind of gave it loudness in the low end. They had really tight low end and a little bit of a high end. I was just the other day at the big recording stage that Lucas Sound uses. You and I were both there. Mm-hmm. This is where they record bands. They record albums. They record Grammy winning albums, but they also record huge symphony orchestras for video games and movie soundtracks. And I asked, what is that? What reference monitors are you using? And they use, and this isn't going to make you happy, Vidak, they use Bowers and Wilkins monitors, those beautiful B&W speakers. And they are...
Yes, if they only were in my budget.
They are very expensive, but they sound Unbelievable. They told me an interesting thing, though, because, you know, B&W started shipping diamond woofers, woofers made out of diamonds. And I said, oh, did you get the diamond woofers? He said, we did. And we sent them back. We don't like them. He said, I said, what? He said, yeah, they were way too harsh. He said, the problem is we're sitting, these speakers, we're sitting in front of them all day and they were hurting our ears. The high end was so bright that they were hurting our ears. Yeah. So sometimes perfect accuracy isn't the goal. Right. The other thing he said, which I thought was interesting, is that we aim them over our head. We don't. So I said, yeah, these speakers look high. He said, yeah, we don't want to be sitting in front of the speakers. In fact, in many studios, you'll see the speakers are, in fact, above your head.
Correct.
Because he said, you don't want the sound hitting you. You want it going by you. And again, that's for listener fatigue as much as anything else, because they have to sit there with fairly loud speakers all day. So all of that placement, the quality of the room and so forth, all of that makes a difference. I'll tell you what I use. I think these are very inexpensive and very good. I use them at home. You've heard them. Mm-hmm. For my stereo. They're from an American company. Now, I don't know if this is the best choice for Montenegro because I don't know what the shipping and all of that would be. But it's ELAC, ELAC. And it was Scott Wilkinson who told me about these. The folks at ELAC, the speakers I use, the debuts, were designed by a legendary speaker designer, Andrew Jones. I think he, in fact, did work at JBL for a while. And these, even the bookshelf speakers, are really accurate, sound really good, and they're very inexpensive given how good they are. The Debut 2s are what I have. They also make an excellent subwoofer, and you can see their bookshelf size. They're not huge, although I have Tower debuts as well.
I have heard of them. I just don't know if I can get them in Montenegro.
Yeah, I don't know. And so that's gonna condition it. But this is an American brand that I think is quite good and very reasonably priced. What did we get for you, John, that you like? Do you like your speakers at home?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, we got John Jammer Bees. Is it the Dyne Audios? Those are a little more expensive. How do you know that, Benito?
Benito's a music artist, too, yeah.
Oh, well, Benito, who does music in his spare time, he's making music every night. What do you like?
So he was talking about those 5-inch JBLs. That's actually what I'm using in one of my studios. I have two at my house, but, like, that's one of the pairs I'm using. In Montenegro, I'm assuming you'd be able to get the Yamahas as well, those Yamahas HS5s, I think they're called. Those are supposed to be pretty good. But the most important thing really is speakers that you know.
Like, yes, because you know what their color, what they're doing exactly, to it. Exactly. Yeah.
I have used the 3 series and the 7 series from JBL before, which is why that was my initial thought, oh, let's get those. I'm having a little trouble sourcing them here, but
Amazon sells the Yamaha HS5s for $200.
Yes, if only Amazon would deliver here.
Yeah, you don't have Amazon.
Those are singles for $200?
Or is it? Yeah, it's probably each. Yeah, of course. But still, and that's the little ones. They show a pair of them. I don't know.
I think I can get these.
Oh, yeah, that's a monitor. Okay, a pair would be, let's see what the pair is. A little more expensive. $399 for the pair.
That's not bad.
Of course, a lot of people swear by KEF for studio monitors. What do you think of those, Benito?
I personally have no experience with them, so I wouldn't know.
They're expensive. That's probably why.
Okay, well,
yeah,
they're probably good then.
Yeah, I think these are often considered to be the diamond standard for reference monitors, for accuracy.
Right.
You'll often hear people, audiophiles, compare the accuracy of a speaker set to KEFs.
Oh, Lordy, the price.
Okay, never mind. Forget I mentioned it. The good news is there are some very good speakers for very relatively inexpensive, like those Yamahas.
Somebody suggested, and this is a brand I never heard of. Apparently, it's a sister brand of JBL, Kali or Kali Audio. I don't know how to.
They're all sister brands because JBL is owned by the big. I think it's Denon and Marantz now, right? JBL's owned by the big boys. Kali. Let me see.
I have heard of Kali, and I've heard good things about them. I haven't no experience with them myself, but I've heard good things.
I love it that we have expertise. Mm-hmm. Kali Audio.
Yeah, this is awesome.
K-A-L-I. JBL Drug Laboratories. I don't know if I want to go to that search result. Yeah. The problem is, you know, there's so many audiophiles in the world.
And they all have thoughts.
They all have thoughts.
And they all share their thoughts.
Yeah, this is exactly why I called this show, because every YouTube video I watch of some expert saying, yeah, oh, these are bad. Oh, these are good. Oh, these are, I don't know, they mud the sound or whatever. I'm like, just give me a recommendation for two speakers.
Well, we've given you more than a few.
Sorry.
Yes, thank you.
I think those Yamahas, have you heard those, Benito?
I have. And those are supposed to be like the replacement to the old NS10s, which were the old studio standard.
Yeah. And there is a reason to kind of go with a studio standard, because even though all speakers color the sound, you want something, and nothing's perfectly flat, but you want something that meets people's expectations, right? And so if everything is mixed to these Yamahas, for instance, then you're going to mix it in this, in, and it's going to sound like what people want it to sound like, expect it to sound like, right? Because there's no perfect sound, right? So I don't know.
Whichever ones I get, either the JBLs or the Yamahas, I'm not going to make a mistake. Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, I think that's what
we're totally perfect. Saying. Yeah. With no issues. Okay.
And I like it, Benito, that you like those JBLs. That's good.
Yeah.
Those can I ask great. Another?
I've been using those for years now.
Yeah.
Can yes, I ask another question, yes, which is not, we're switching to film photography now.
Okay.
I know you like that
film.
Subject.
Yes. That's Chris Marquardt. He wrote a whole book on film photography. He's the guy who suckered me into getting a film camera.
Did he really?
I kind of dabble in it. I like doing stuff with my hands, and which is not oh, there's the photo. I like thinking about it.
That's the only reason to do it that way. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I'm now looking for scanners that can scan film. I am looking at the Epson V600 and the Epson V850 Pro.
I think they're very good. That's what I have always used. Epson's got good. Remember, a film scanner is the opposite of a paper scanner, because instead of bouncing light off of it, they're shining light through it. And so it has to have a slightly different configuration. I think those Epsons do both. They come with nice little holders. I think they're very good. I've always thought Epson did a very good job with those.
Here's my dilemma, though. It's a more complicated process if you want to get in Montenegro, if you want to get the V850.
Yeah.
I can get the V600. Will I be losing something if I got the lower grade?
No. Get the lower grade.
Whatever.
That's fine. It's slower. That's all.
It's slower? Oh, I don't care about speed. Yeah. I mean, as long as it does it.
Yeah. No, it's
as long
fine.
As it scans it.
I think it's just a little slower. I think the optics are the same.
All right. That's thank you very
Great
much.
To talk
guys.
To you. Take care, Vidak.
Thank you.
All right, before we go, we should go. We're way over time, but I gotta go to space.
To space. The final frontier.
To space and beyond. Which one is that?
I don't see names on this. So I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
Douglas
Ferguson, come on down. Well, no, stay up there.
Stay in space.
Don't come down yet. I like the space. Hi, Douglas. Welcome to Ask the Tech Guys.
Hi, Leo. I got a tough one for you.
Oh, shoot.
It's about printers.
I was feeling
I have,
so no, good.
It's not printers. It's not printers. Don't worry.
Good.
I have a Nikon D5300, and this past week I just bought a Sigma 150 to 600 millimeter lens. Now, I took it out to an air show yesterday, and I found out that when I was trying to shoot planes in the sky, it wouldn't focus and the shutter button wouldn't trigger.
Oh, shoot.
So I put the lens into manual focus and set it at infinity. And I actually got some really good shots with that. Give me a second here.
That's the best fix, right? It's not ideal, but that's the best fix. I guess those Sigmas, it's a third-party lens. The Sigmas didn't support the Nikon electronics. Let's see.
I don't know if you can see.
Oh, look at that.
Wowza.
Is that the Blue Angels you got there?
Yeah, that's the Blue Angels. They were there.
Nice.
So it's I also played around with another lens that I had, which is,
by the way, they're going hundreds of miles an hour. So that's a really great shot. You must have had a very, you weren't following it. You had a high shutter speed.
No, I was following it, but I,
wow. You
know, I'm trying to get used to handling the big,
very nice,
the big camera.
That's very crisp. That's really well done.
That's impressive.
So I stopped sharing this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously it's a little less than infinity.
Yeah, but it was
close enough.
It came out really sharp,
especially if you shoot it as a higher aperture, it's going to be crisp enough. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah,
I didn't know if there was anything special I need to set on the camera for a, because this lens has autofocus built in. So I didn't know if there was anything. I mean, if I shoot something on the ground, like the distance something, it was sharp as could be. It focused and shot. But it just didn't do it.
So that's interesting. It may be there's a switch on that Sigma. Some lenses have a switch for the focal range. Like you could, so that if you're doing it closer, I know many of my longer lenses.
There's a switch for the focus.
Yeah.
You could either have it be the full autofocus or 10 meters to infinity.
Right.
Or 2.8 meters to 10 meters.
And you had it set properly, but still wasn't focusing.
Yeah, but I mean, I couldn't even trigger the shutter button wouldn't work, so I missed a couple of good shots.
Oh, that's annoying. Do you know? Huh, that's interesting. Because it's up against a blue sky, it may not have been able to focus. Depends on how it was doing the focusing.
I actually tried it today again with my regular 60-300 zoom lens that I have, and it wasn't doing it either. So yeah. I don't know if there's something in the camera that I'm not setting right.
I think it's the Sigma. Honestly, I think it's a mismatch between the 5300 and the Sigma.
The lens is shooting fine.
But it's the electronics, right? It's not the optics. It's the electronics that are mismatched. Edmonton Euler guy says the 5300 needs a G-type lens.
I don't know.
Yeah. It may be that you need to look at the Sigma site and say, I need a lens for specifically this camera. Because the electronics have to interface properly.
I looked around and they said it was compatible.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it wasn't a cheap lens either.
No, I bet not.
No.
Ant, do you have any thoughts? It's, yeah.
It's an old camera. Processor.
And an old processor. So it's maybe not.
Slow to focus,
fast. Yeah. I don't know. I think you did the best thing, which is focus on infinity or just slightly less and set it to a high aperture, high shutter speed. You got a great shot.
Yeah, I got a bunch of great shots.
Yeah.
So today I went out and tried to shoot at my model airplane field. I tried to shoot some pictures, but shooting model aircraft is not easy.
They're little.
And
they're fast.
So the other thing I did today was I ordered the USB dock for the lens. So I'll try updating the
firmware
on the lens.
Yeah,
that could be, or the firmware on the camera. It may. And Ant just thinks that's the best you're going to be able to do with that lens on that body.
Okay.
That's if you think about it, that's the toughest kind of focusing. You're focusing on blue sky at an infinite distance. It's not going to focus. Many of my lenses won't focus on a blue sky, because it's just there's nothing to focus on.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I mean, the shots that I took came out fantastic.
I think that's what you do. Just do what you did. And everything else is going to be fine. Anything that it can focus on. But there's nothing for it to focus on the blue sky. I think it's just not able to.
There's airplanes for it to focus on. I got some really, really great shots. Hold on, I'll show you one more.
Were you able to focus, like if an airplane was at a great distance and you could focus it then and then keep that focus, maybe that would work. I don't know.
Yeah, I just set it to
infinity
and left it there.
To infinity and beyond.
So there's another one.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. How long is that lens?
The max on it is 600 millimeters.
Oh, it looks like it.
But it's because I have an APC sensor, it's actually 900 millimeters.
900. Wow.
And so
that's beautiful.
The shame with the lens was I couldn't go wide enough sometimes when they did the maneuvers where they would where they would like break off.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
One goes this way, one goes that way. Yeah.
I couldn't do that. So, but.
Great shots.
You know, these are just.
Wow. That upside down. That's incredible.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to see the Blue Angels, they are something.
This was the first time I've seen the Blue Angels. I've seen the Thunderbolts, the Thunderbirds before.
Yeah.
But I personally think the Blue Angels are better.
Oh, I love them. I got twice got offered to go for a ride with those guys. I said no both times.
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot. But I don't like roller coasters. So my partner, Patrick Norton, went. And he passed out.
I was going to say, did he pass out or throw
out? But the funny thing is, I was thinking when the show was over, I was thinking, these guys are thinking, we get paid for this?
Yeah. Yeah, they have fun, don't they? But it's risky. Those guys are really taking their life in their hands.
Yeah, they also had a I got a really good shot here. This was a World War II.
Look at that.
A World War II.
I love this lens. I'm happy with this lens. Do not send it back.
This is a World War II vampire, a World War II jet fighter.
Wow. Look at the clarity. That is spectacular.
Somebody was commenting that they're flying 80-year-old planes. I said, well, the B-52 is 60 years old, and we're still flying that.
There you go.
So, but, you know, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the pictures I got.
Yeah, you should be.
It's just a little frustrating.
Yeah.
But when I was playing around with the lens, like, you know, shooting things at a distance on the ground, it was focusing fine.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's just not, it can't grab the focus.
I've talked to other people I'm listening to some other people who photograph aircraft, and they said it's not easy.
It's not easy is right. That's why those are great pictures.
Yeah, you really did.
You got the Air Pruitt seal of approval, my friend. We got to run. Okay. Thank you, Douglas.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm a recent Club Twit subscriber.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
I've never used Discord before, so I'm trying to get used to that.
I know a lot of times people join the club and they don't end up in the Discord, and that's a shame because the community in there is fantastic, and it goes all the time, not just during shows. So I'm right now in the Ask the Tech Guys Discord, but there's Discords about photography too. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff.
It's kind of funny. My son uses Discord, not your Discord, but he uses Discord.
The kids know Discord. Yeah.
He plays Dungeons and Dragons. It's funny. My son's 26 now, but you know, one point he was like about 14 and I was at his computer. I said, what are you doing? He says, oh, I'm updating Malwarebytes. And I'm like, where did you learn this?
Smart kid.
The program that lets you, I forget what it's called, lets you switch scenes and everything.
Yeah.
OBS. I mentioned that. OBS. I mentioned that to him. He was, I've been using that for a year.
Okay, but the program, Dad.
Come on. So
he streams on Twitch.
Oh, nice.
He graduated from, this past year, he graduated from a school called Joe Kubert. It's a art school. A lot of Indian industry people know it.
Wonderful.
And he's been hunting for a job as a graphic artist. So,
wow, best of luck. That's fantastic.
But,
that's what you wanted to do.
That's what I originally went to school for.
See what happened to Micah. So you never know.
Yeah, he's been getting commissions. The funny thing is, he did a logo for my website, and then he charged me for it.
Good for him.
Smart kid. That's exactly what he should do. No freebies Dad.
Dad, thank you so much for the
great
call.
To talk to you, Douglas. We really do have to run. We're way behind, but it's so great to see you. Great shots.
Oh, that's okay.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I think I just have to deal with it as it is. And
I wouldn't return it. I think it's working.
Great
as it
photos.
Yeah.
Incredible photos.
Yeah, I have another air show in 2 weeks, and we'll see how that goes. That's not jets. That's mainly just regular aerobatics and some World War II planes.
Good. Call us back. Show us what you got.
Yeah.
All right.
I've actually got some interesting video.
You won't be very good on the Chris Marquardt photo assignment, though. It's dull. I don't think he's going to do well.
Yeah,
in
you can't do any dull shots, can you? Yeah,
hey, thank you for joining the club. We appreciate it. $7 a month. I'll give it a little plug. twit.tv/clubtwit. Not only the Discord, you get ad-free versions of all the shows. You get shows we don't even put out in public, like Micah's Hands on Macintosh, the brand new Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson. And it really helps us develop new stuff like this show. This show wouldn't exist without the club. Please, we appreciate it. Twit.tv/clubtwit. We are way out of time. We are 20 minutes over. So it's time for me to say thank you, Micah Sargent.
And thank you, Leo Laporte.
Thank you to Dick D. Bartolo. Next week, I'm going to show you, I've got the new Amazon Kindle Scribe, which is their notebook with a pen that you can write with. So I'm going to compare that to the Remarkable 2.
Excellent.
Which we've played with. And an iPad, note-taking on an iPad. So three different note-taking devices. Which one's the best for you? We'll talk about that next week. Of course, we'll take all your calls too. If you want to email us, atg@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail, 888-724-2884. And of course, call.twit.tv next week during the show. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Have a great Geek Week. Bye-bye.
Hey, we should talk Linux. It's the operating system that runs the internet, a bunch of game consoles, cell phones, and maybe even the machine on your desk. Did you already knew all that? What you may not know is that Twit now has a show dedicated to it, the Untitled Linux Show. Whether you're a Linux pro, a burgeoning sysadmin, or just curious what the big deal is, you should join us on the Club Twit Discord every Saturday afternoon for news, analysis, and tips to sharpen your Linux skills. And then make sure you subscribe to the Club Twit exclusive Untitled Linux Show. Wait, you're not a Club Twit member yet? Well, go to twit.tv/clubtwit and sign up. Hope to see you there.